Tonight, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey, rides sidecar for the first hour. Then later, we'll get a breakdown on all the latest legal news from Rich Lenkov. And finally, we have a great replay from the Bill and Wendy Show. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, happy Tuesday. You're listening Pretty Late. Joining me in studio is John Tatey, and the trend of the week is I apologize to all my guests ahead of time because I am sweaty. I'm dripping. I stopped in to see Esmeralda. She'll attest to my drippiness. She was glad that I stayed against the wall.
You are glowing.
I'm glowing. I glisten. I'm like glistening
with
sweat.
You were glistening a lot.
I was stair climbing, John Tatey. You have to come with me sometime in the stairwell. Yes. I mean, you don't have to climb the stairs with me, but just it's good acoustically for having a conversation, I think.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah. Maybe we'll record something.
So I'm just going to be at the bottom of the stairs while you climb them, shouting up to you.
That might work. I like that. Maybe I'll just use like stair sprints, as many stairs until you can't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have to text me, I can't hear you anymore, and I have to run back down. That's a weird game I've just created for myself.
That is. Then you can come to the gym while I work out and we'll have a conversation. My trainer actually does that sometimes. I'm in the middle of like a brutal set.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts chatting with me about some movie he saw over the weekend. And I don't know. It's kind of like being at the dentist. You know, when the dentist chats you up and you're like,
That's a good sound. Right. I like that.
I don't know if he expects me to respond as I'm gasping for breath or if he's like.
I think he's evaluating. I think he's evaluating your
right.
ability to breathe.
He's testing me.
Yeah, to see if maybe you're not maxing out. He wants you just to the point.
Well, yeah, and
exhaustion.
I always try to play it cool. Like, oh, yeah, I can chat and lift 150 pounds at the same time. In fact, I cannot.
It's a little bit of a strain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stair climbing, I can talk. I actually also do some Instagramming. And as Esmeralda found out, I'm listening to Little Megan Trainor. My name is No. My sign is No. That's what I was listening to.
Oh, that's a terrible song.
It's a fantastic song. I guess it depends on your point of view.
All About That Bass, I love.
Right. What about My Name is No, don't you like?
I haven't heard it in a while because when I heard it, I thought, oh, this isn't as good as All About That Bass.
Oh, well, yeah, no.
I feel like she was a bit of a one-hit wonder. I mean, not actually. She's continued to have a successful career.
What about
for me, she was a one-hit wonder.
What about the Lion song? If your lips are moving, you must be lying. That one's good.
That one was okay.
I like all of them. I can't think of one
I don't like.
Wow,
you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan.
Esmeralda has nothing to say about Meghan Trainor.
Yeah, that's fine.
She's okay.
The listeners couldn't see Esmeralda, but your face was saying that already.
Said it all.
Yeah.
She'll be boppy for me. That's why I like her. I enjoy. She's good to work out
with. You like the beat.
What do you work out to? What's your workout jam?
Here's the thing.
Or jelly.
I would like to work out to some of the sort of electro psych music I like to listen to. Tame Impala, I think I talked about 1 week, is a group I like a lot. Parts in Labor. These are groups that I would love to listen to work out, but I also feel a need to like please my trainer and the other people in this little gym that I go to.
Impress them or please them so that they're enjoying the jam.
Please
as well?
Them. Oh, no, I don't need to impress them. So we always end up listening to the Apple Music rock workout station, which is fine, but it's just what you would expect. It's like stadium rock type stuff. And
yes, I can see that.
Whatever.
It's a little old for you.
Yeah.
Not old, but I mean, like it wears
no,
thin.
No, yeah, yeah. It's a little, I don't know. It doesn't energize me because it's just become sort of background at this point. I've heard the song so many times. It doesn't pump me up, so to speak.
Well, I used to work out when I would do treadmills. You know, they have in hotels, they'll often have TVs. You can tune whatever channel you want.
Yeah.
And I realized one time I work out very well to Criminal Minds. I'm not sure if I think I'm running away from the killer or something, but I don't do that anymore. That show got too dark. It wears on you a little bit. And by the way, they got rid of Greg from Darm and Greg. I really probably should know his name.
This is so funny. I was just talking about this with my mom, who's in town right now. Because,
oh, she is?
Yeah.
Hey, Bonnie.
Yeah. I would have brought her along, but she falls asleep. She's on Eastern time, too, so she falls early. She is really into Criminal Minds. And
disappointed?
Just perplexed by the whole affair. Now, maybe you know more of the details than I do. What happened?
Well,
Greg. She said it was someone from Dharma and Greg, and I said, was it Greg? Because I think she's on that show.
That would
and
make
she,
more sense. Yeah. I should probably look that up.
It wasn't
the name of the actor. But I can see. Obviously, I can see him in his mind. But he apparently got into an altercation with a producer on the show and apparently kicked that person. And then.
Oh, I heard there was a fight. I didn't know there
Thomas
was kicking.
Thomas Gibson, by
Thank you. Thomas Gibson.
Oh, well done, Esmeralda. Thank you.
And he's been on the series from the very beginning. As was at the beginning, the show started out with, my brain is just going to go to complete mush. Nigo Montoya was on the show. See, you too. Anyone?
Yes.
That's the actor I can
see. That's not Antonio Banderas, is
no.
it?
No. Oh, he's got like a girl name. Mandy Patinkin.
She's right. It is a girl's name. Mandy Patinkin was on the series to begin with. It's kind of like the behavioral analysis.
I remember that.
He created this whole genre of, you know, tracking down killers based on their psychological profiles. But, yeah.
See, but even he got tired. I can't do this anymore. Like, in the show, the character.
He said it was too dark. Yeah. Didn't he say it was too dark? Plus, he's so great on Homeland. So I'm glad that opened it up for him.
He is great on Homeland. I always think of Mandy Patinkin because I believe, and someone can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but wasn't he on Chicago Hope? And
yes.
Do you remember when Chicago Hope and ER were coming to air at the same time and everybody said, oh, look at Chicago Hope. That show is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
That show is going to destroy
Christine
ER.
Christine Lottie, right?
Yeah. The star power of Christine Lottie was going to... carry that show supposedly, but I think it lasted what, 3 seasons?
Yeah, it did not.
Which is not bad, but
maybe
it was only 2.
And it's not a genre can only be occupied by one hit, because Law and Order and of course every other cop drama that was out there seemed to be okay.
Yeah, but sometimes there's 2 shows coming on at the same time that have a similar premise. I mean, ER was set in Chicago as well.
Yes, that's true.
It reminds me of 30 Rock and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, I love Studio 60.
Loved
that show. You didn't like it?
No,
okay.
That was some of Sorkin's most dire work.
Okay.
Before The Newsroom came along and made Studio 60 look like brilliance. But those 2 shows were coming on the same season, both on NBC. And people were saying 2 shows that are basically about Saturday Night Live, an SNL-type sketch show, there's no way they're both going to survive, which in fact was true. But everybody was putting their money on Studio 60.
Really?
Quite understandably, because Aaron Sorkin was coming off the West Wing, so it seemed like he was just going to be printing money with that. But,
It was too inside what it's like behind the scenes of a variety show.
I'll tell you what it was too inside is Aaron Sorkin's rectum.
There you go. There's an observation that you don't get every day of the week or twice on Sundays at all. I was not a big fan of 30 Rock.
Really?
Yeah. No, I just, it was almost too, like, when I watch it, I would like it, but never had to see more of it. Never, like, it's the same thing with Simpsons. If I end up watching, I'm like, oh, that's funny. But I don't have to see more of it. Same thing with Seinfeld. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
How I Met Your Mother.
I feel like I'm being shot right now.
I know.
Like, I can feel the hot lead.
I don't know what it is.
With every new show that you're listing off.
My must-see comedies were always Friends, Everybody Loves Raymond. Roseanne for 4 seasons. When I was a kid, I really liked that show a lot.
Roseanne's a great show.
It was a great show for about 4 seasons. I think that was
toward the end. I would say more than four, but toward the end it definitely tailed
off. When they won the lotto, that's for
and then it was all dream. Wasn't
shark
it all?
Jumping.
Don't say too much because we got a quiz coming up later. And
oh, I'm sorry
about Roseanne.
Well, maybe. Maybe Roseanne will be in it.
Who knew? I'm trying to think of the comedies that I absolutely... Like, I did really enjoy... I liked ER. You know what episode I was out on? I don't know how much of it you watched. But
Tell me. The episode
I was out was the helicopter landing on the surgeon.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
it. I was like... I don't know.
Jump the shark moment for a lot of people.
But he lived, didn't he? Like, it came and it was through an open door or something? Like, did it kill him or was he maimed?
I feel like he was maimed. So long. I don't believe he was killed.
Yeah. Although, you know what? It was actually earlier than that. Remember, wasn't there like a psychopath loose in the hospital and he stabs Noah Wiley? Doesn't Noah Wiley end up on a gurney?
I feel like maybe past the first or second season, there was one of those episodes every year where it was just over the top and it lost its grounding a little bit.
Now, do you guys watch Grey's Anatomy? That thing's just over the top every episode.
Yeah, I've seen every single episode from the very beginning.
And there's always something insane happening.
Yeah, she's right. Another show that I should be done with, but that's one I hung in there for, past the point of no return, it seems.
Yeah, I love
I'm 12
how
years
you,
in now.
You shrug off The Simpsons, the funniest and most influential comedy of our lives, and you're sticking with Grey's Anatomy.
I didn't say, neither said I had good toys. I do not have good taste nor logic involved in my TV watching.
Do you watch any other animated things?
What was that, Esma?
Do you watch any other animated programs?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh,
no.
That's a thing for some people. They just aren't into cartoons no matter what.
King of the Hill for a little bit, like a season or 2 I enjoyed.
King of the Hill, great, underrated show.
I agree.
Yes.
You go back and watch that show. It's on reruns everywhere. That's a good show.
Matt, what do you want to say about Chicago Hope?
Hey, folks, how you doing?
Well,
Eddie, as always, you're a nightly treasure.
Oh, thank you very much. A treasure.
Wow, how nice.
I feel like I'm cuddling with Matt right now. Are you? Do you work at night, or are you getting ready for bed?
No, I'm an Uber driver, and
hey.
I love it when my last Uber ride of the night gets picked up from the loop and wants to go to Schaumburg.
Ah, so that's a good one.
I'm on my
yes.
way home.
Oh, there you go. So, congratulations.
Thank
Does
you.
That really so, happen to you, Matt? I'm sorry to sidetrack from the Chicago Hope comments, but do you really yeah. sometimes get jobbed at the end of the night with someone who wants to go out to the relative boonies?
Yeah, that's actually where I am right now on the way back downtown.
Oh, this happened tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So funny.
So, let's see. Chicago Hope ran 4 seasons.
It was 4, wow.
City on the 5th Strip was the greatest television show ever produced that only got 1 season, in my opinion.
See, and, Matt and I are on the same
there
page.
You go.
Yep.
ER flung Noah Wiley did get stabbed, but the surgeon we were talking about with the helicopter, Dr. Romano was on the roof removing a patient from the helicopter. And he backed up into
yes.
the propeller, and he lost his arm.
Yes.
And they tried fixing it, and it was a whole thing. And then he just got – and he was like that mean guy. He wasn't evil, but he was basically the antagonist of the show at
yes.
that point.
Yes, I agree.
And he kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then finally he tried to fire someone for smoking weed, and then the helicopter fell off the building and landed on him. And nobody knew where he was, and they were all mad. And then they found him at the end of the episode, and nobody even cared. And the best part was he was homophobic on the show, so they made it the Robert Romano like.
Sure, like HIV clinic. Yeah, the clinic. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Did Matt?
Anyway,
have
you guys have,
wait, Matt. Have you seen RoboCop the original?
Of course.
Well, Dr. Romano, I didn't realize he was one of the really bad guys, one of the crazy dudes.
Right.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, no, he's the one that gets doused with a bunch of chemicals and then explodes when it gets hit by a dog.
Yes, he starts to melt, and he's like reaching out for help, and then a helicopter lands on him. Wait, now I'm combining things.
Oh, Matt, I feel like you called a little early because I've got a TV theme show quiz coming up later in the hour. And
you can call
I
back.
Feel like, please call back because I feel like you would be very good at it.
I like that.
Am I allowed to?
Of course. Yes, you're allowed to call back, Matt. We'd love to hear from you.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
Excellent. Yay. Thanks. We'll talk to you a little bit, Matt. Thanks. We'll take a quick break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by John Tatey up in the newsroom. We have Rob Martier. Esmeralda is in traffic. Craig Collins in the producer's booth. And, John, I have a list of my my boss, Stephanie Menendez, sent me an article about words that you may or may not be pronouncing correctly. And and I know one of the words, because a lot of these are also modern terms. And I, you know what? I don't actually say like you know, moving pictures. These are all a lot of tech terms that have evolved. Mm. We've sort of you know, shortened them, like GIFs. Is it a GIF or a GIF?
Either one is fine.
Is it really?
The creator of the format pronounces it GIF.
You have
GIF.
It?
GIF. I stumbled over it. I said both at once somehow.
That
know,
was miraculous.
That was weird.
I need to find that and loop it and then try to recreate that.
I've never made that sound with my
it
mouth before.
It was fantastic. Well, you should chew it often. It was elegant.
GIF. Like the peanut butter.
GIF. What like GIF. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here, let's go through. So how do you say .exe, right?
I would just say .exe.
I would say .exe. Maybe. X-E? So you would say, well, see, there's no dot is one of the choices. We're taking a quiz right now together.
The dot isn't part of it.
You say X-E?
E-X-E is what I would say.
Okay, so we'll do that. Wrong. It's E-X-E.
What?
See the difference? I know. What's the difference between the first one and the second one? The one that
no,
we got?
I was right. It lit up green for mine. E-X-E.
E-X-E? What did I say? X-E. Oh, X-E. I see.
Yeah.
Yes,
we
were
right.
I was wrong.
We were both right.
All right, so JPEG. I think that's easy. Right?
JPEG is JPEG.
JPEG.
Yeah.
So let's do JPEG. Correct.
Okay,
I love
that
we're taking a quiz on the air. Okay, so now
we should say the letters. For,
yeah, GIF. So what is a GIF, by the way?
It stands for Graphics Interchange Format, and it's a very simple image format that defines an image by consecutive rows of or blocks of pixels, basically.
Okay.
So if you have 8 black pixels in a row, it'll just compress that and say, hey, you got 8 of these. And proceed. And it had an animation feature, which is why it's popular now on the web, because it's a very easy way to animate images.
It looks like a little flipbook almost.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the technology of it is actually like under the hood, it functions kind of like a flipbook. I say GIF. I think it's perfectly fine to say that, but I'm going to bet that this quiz says that GIF is the proper way.
So go with GIF?
GIF, yeah.
Okay, so GIF. Let's see what happens. Oh, GIF, like gift.
Huh. Wow, very bold of them to... Yeah.
Yeah, it's wrong. A lot of people are going to try to convince you that it's GIF with a soft G. It's not. Don't listen to those people.
So this is somewhat very prescriptive. I don't know. I think you could go either way on that. This is ping. PNG is pronounced ping.
It is? What's a PNG?
It's another. It's very similar to GIF, actually, but it's a more modern format.
It's a ping? Okay. You are correct. Although, in a pinch, calling it a PNG also works.
What is this quiz? I mean, it seems like they're all over the place.
This is stupid. LOL.
LOL is LOL.
Do you say lol?
I do not say that. Some people do, but not me.
LOL. Oh, I was wrong. I picked lol. What would that even be?
You picked LOL.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Just like you're saying, Wi-Fi. That's got to be.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Wait a minute. So Wi-Fi is internet. Wireless internet.
Wi-Fi doesn't stand for anything.
Frequency.
No, it doesn't stand. Wi-Fi is actually.
I'm out.
It is. Yeah, it's wireless. So it's a play on the word wireless, but it's also a play on the term hi-fi. Mm-hmm. For some reason, nobody really knows why, but this is just the term that came into being. It does not stand for anything.
Okay, now I'm upset.
I think you're perfectly right to be upset.
I feel like you've researched this. And I've had these conversations many times that Wi-Fi stands for nothing. And I bet you someone's going to call and say that it does. 312-981-7200.
It doesn't.
It doesn't mean anything.
No.
All right, then. So Wi-Fi. Y-W-H-Y-Fi. Try that one. Yes. Did you know that Wi-Fi isn't actually short for anything?
Oh, is that what the quiz says? Okay, it's been
Rob
confirmed.
Martyr, weren't you under the impression that this meant something? Yes.
I'm feeling the same sort of anxiety that I felt when I was watching that scene. Out of Private Parts with Howard Stern, where he's sitting across the desk from Pig Vomit, and Pig Vomit's going, WNBC, WNBC, and Howard Stern is looking at him and going, you know, I'm kind of saying the same thing here, WNBC, and they're going back and forth with the WNBC, and I started to get really frustrated and sweating. I'm getting that feeling up here. I'm getting very frustrated and I'm sweating.
With who? With either one of us or
with
just the conversation?
A lot of anxiety.
All right. Well, how do you say QWERTY?
You just said it.
Is it correct?
QWERTY. Yeah.
What does QWERTY stand for?
QWERTY is the American English keyboard layout.
All right.
Look at the keyboard. It says QWERTY.
Mm.
Yep.
In the corner.
There we go.
And I think there was some computer games where QWERTY was a character.
It was.
Like kind of just like the
I thought that was
the learning. No, I'm thinking of like when you're a kid. Well, when I was a kid and I was learning computer things and you'd be like, QWERTY. And then it was like typing games. Yeah. That's all.
Oh. Wow. Okay. I want to play that game. All right.
ASCII. This is just a. This is a common text format. ASCII is how it's pronounced.
It is pronounced ASCII, and I picked the wrong one because I didn't think it would be ASCII.
Yep, it's ASCII.
It's ASCII, the form of early internet text-only image creation, may not be very popular these days.
Well, that's not really what it is.
Okay. Data. I'm saying data. Do you say data?
I say data, like all sensible people.
Data? Esmeralda, what do you say?
That data.
Rob?
I think.
Data.
Craig?
I don't know.
Data?
Data?
Yeah, I think data.
Data. So I'm going to go data right there. Oh, you guys are correct. Data it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like the character from Star Trek, it says. That's what
yes,
I think of.
Yes, the next generation. Mm-hmm. This
oh,
one?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
The three of us. Well, it's the East Coasters that say data. Was that what happened? Right? Was it Esmeralda? Rob and I also
I said data.
I said data.
I think I say data.
What about this one?
The people who say data are like the people who say, oh, I feel badly for you. It's overcorrect to the point where it's wrong.
I feel badly that saying badly is not okay because it's correct grammatically.
You feel bad for people.
I feel bad. That's annoying to me. That's, when I say it, not you, just when
no,
I do
yeah,
it. I don't tell
that's
people.
That's grammatically correct. It's grammatically incorrect to say you feel badly for someone.
Okay.
I'm getting off track here.
How about if you feel badly, just in general? I feel bad.
Also wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one.
IMGUR is an image sharing site, and I pronounce it Imgur. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
I agree. Around the horn. Anybody want to?
IMGUR.
Imgur?
No. Imgur.
I like that.
I'm Imgur.
Imgur.
I'm a Gur. All right. Which one did you say the first one?
Imgur, yeah.
All right. Let's try
Imgur.
You are correct. It's pronounced like the word image. And Tumblr. That's just Tumblr. That's ridiculous.
Easy, yeah.
Tumblr would do that quickly, get through these. Meme. Yes, yeah. Everyone's meme. Nodding meme.
Get that. Meme.
Oh, wait, I got that wrong. I got 7 out of 12 right, so that'll have to be fine. What does Ken want to say about Wi-Fi? Ken, what do you think Wi-Fi means? Or what are you telling us Wi-Fi means?
Wi-Fi means wireless fidelity, just like hi-fi back in the day meant high fidelity. It's just the ability to reproduce the signal.
Okay.
At a certain, yeah, okay.
Well, no, I think yeah. that John had mentioned that it was kind of a playoff of fidelity.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's a, you know, there's some speculation on that. Ken, where are you calling from?
Yeah, Waukegan.
Waukegan, are you driving or are you at home?
No, I'm in the vehicle, but I'm parked.
Oh, good. I just want to make sure that you're being safe, and we thank you so much for calling in. All right. I wasn't like, I'm not sending the cops your way. He sounded like he was like, I'm parked, the engine's off, the keys are out of the ignition.
Who's
Everything
asking?
Is good. Have a great night, Ken. Be safe.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. You too. Our news, 1130, is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Coming up after the news, John Tatey has a quiz for you.
Quiz.
And we have a pair of tickets for Go Ape Ziplining at Bemis Woods.
Wow, that's
Western
a great
Springs.
Prize.
It is a good prize.
I can't believe I have to give that away instead of doing it myself. But yes, we'll have that wonderful prize for a TV theme song quiz. I'll give you some lyrics from the theme song. You name the TV show. It's as simple as that. There I know we're going to have... Who was it earlier? Matt?
Matt's calling in. This is your chance now.
So who will challenge Matt?
312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. And that is for the TV show theme songs. And we have a pair of tickets for Go Ape Ziplining as well as a pizza. I mean, you know what? We're going to fill you up a pizza and see how you do on the ziplining. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by John Tatey. And he has a quiz for you. Is it? It's not really a pop quiz, is it, if we've told people that they're having a quiz?
I suppose it's not anymore, is
Although,
it?
And Matt, who called back. I'm so excited that you called back. Matt, are you an aficionado when it comes to theme songs of TV shows?
I was 14, and I was on the Spirit of Chicago, and... They started playing all these TV shows, the theme songs in the 60s, mm-hmm. as a trivia contest. I beat like 55-year-old.
So,
I could tell, Matt.
I should be okay.
When we were chatting earlier, you really knew your stuff.
Well, we've decided to challenge you to get the best, the 3 out of 5, in order to win your prizes, which is a Lou Malnati's gift card. Everyone can go to loumalnati's.com or Lou2Go. And there are over 42 locations in the Chicagoland area, as well as Go Ape Ziplining at Bemis Woods in Western Springs. And we get more information as soon as we round up this game. All right.
Okay, Matt, since you do know so much, I'm going to lean toward the harder end of the spectrum here.
Thank you.
I'm going to throw you everything I've got, okay? Here's your first one. If what doesn't kill us is making us stronger, we're going to last longer than that greatest wall in China or that rabbit with the drum.
What are you talking about?
Now, I'll give you a little hint. These lyrics were not heard in every season of this show. Only the last season did this theme song have lyrics. If what doesn't kill us is making us stronger, we're going to last longer than that greatest wall in China or that rabbit with the drum.
Oh, my God. It is directly in front of my face.
Esmeralda's trying to. Esmeralda's tapping.
Oh, Esmeralda knows it.
It sounds very familiar. Oh, it's killing me.
It should sound very familiar given a certain show we were talking about earlier in the evening.
And don't, don't give it to him, by the way, because we'll hold on to it for another contestant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You have a guess, Matt?
Oh, my God. I'm going to hate this when I figure it out.
I'm going to have to call time in a second here, Matt. I think time's up.
No, what does that show? And then I'm just going to say it even though I know it's wrong. Give me a break.
Oh, sorry. It's not Give Me a Break. That's a great theme song, though.
You have to hold on for
after this. I won't tell people
no.
what that is?
Nope.
Okay.
Save it. And 312-981-7200 to be on deck in order to take over when Matt does not get 3 out of 5.
I have faith in Matt. Here we go, Matt.
Saying,
here's the next one.
312-981. I'm just teasing you, Matt. Go ahead.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights.
Oh, God. What's that? Can I get a decade?
Yes, sure. I'll give you that hint. This is, I believe, from the 50s, maybe trickling into the 60s a little bit.
Now that I've never had lyrics.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights.
The only thing I can think of, even though I know it's wrong, Alice.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Oh my God, you guys are killing me tonight.
Okay, you got to run the table here now, Matt. Ready?
Yeah.
New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs, and it's understood he's there just to take good care of me, like he's one
Charles
of the family.
And Jared.
There you go. Correct.
All right, we're on the board, Matt. Two more.
We'll send him cheesy movies, the worst we can find. He'll have to sit and watch them all, and we'll monitor his mind.
Mm. Can I get a decade one more time?
You are killing Esmeralda, by the way.
This is
fun to watch.
90s into the 2000s here.
Can I one more time, please?
Yeah, we'll send him cheesy movies, the worst we can find. He'll have to sit and watch them all, and we'll monitor his mind.
Okay, this is total throw out here. I'm just going to say it. It's the only thing I can think of. Mystery Space Science Theater 3000.
I'll give it to you. It's just Mystery Science Theater 3000. There's no space in it, but that is correct, Matt.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Okay, so that means we're at the climactic theme now.
He has two. Now, here's the thing. Now, I'll let you decide. We do have a challenger who wants to enter the ring. We have Tim on hold. Do we allow Matt to continue to go for the third one, or do we allow Tim to
I'll tell you what. I'll have three left after this. We can make Tim go two out of three if Matt doesn't get it.
All right, then. Sounds good.
All right, Matt, here we go.
Stand by, Tim. You're on deck. Go ahead.
Every time I turn around, I see the girl who turns my world around standing there.
Hmm. Can I get a decade?
80s.
Wow. You're good with the hands.
Oh, that takes away what I thought it was. Can I get the lyrics one more time?
Every time I turn around, I see the girl who turns my world around standing there.
Oh, what's that? Stupid show.
Yes.
One Life to Live.
Oh no!
No, not One Life to Live. So it's the one with Molly. Oh, the one who got involved in drugs, and then wound up on that Disney show that I can't think of.
No, it's. You would have been wrong anyway, Matt. It's not what you're thinking. Oh, I'm so bummed. I thought Matt was going to nail it. You did very. Those were tough, though, Matt. I will say.
You know what, Matt? For being on hold, I do have. I'm going to give you one of the two prizes, and still have two for Tim, depending on how he does. But I've got a Lou Malnati's gift card for you.
Oh, great!
You're not going away empty-handed. I wouldn't do that to you, Matt. So hold on
Thank
the line.
You.
Of course.
Can I just ask that you guys tell me what? Not tell me, but at the end, can you at least tell me what the answer to the? First
oh yeah, we will go through all the answers. We promise. Yes. Yeah. So hold on the line, okay. And Craig will get your information for a Lou Malnati's gift card. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Hold on the line, and we're gonna. Should I take? You know what, Tim. Hold on, let me make sure that I have Matt. If we got Matt on hold, I don't want to hang up on him. He's good. So, Tim. Hey, Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Can you hold on
doing
for...
Wonderful.
Are you in a hurry? Because I'm going to take a break, and then so we can devote our time to going through the rest of these with you.
I'm on my way to the airport. I'm on Bluetooth, so everything's perfect. No
I love that. Which airport are you going to?
Just up to Midway. My son's coming home for a couple of weeks.
That's
nice.
Wonderful. I feel like now I feel bad putting him on hold. Oh, you're going for a good reason, and now hold on. Well, hold on a second.
Well, thanks so much for listening to us on such
no
a
problem.
Nice night.
We'll have a pizza for you. Just a second. More after this on 720.
Great.
On 720 WGN. Hey, coming up later on WGN, Nick D has PR guru Richard Larimer discussing Ryan Lochte and the whole mess that he got himself into. Plus, coming up, another round of Would Esmeralda Buy That? I love that segment, Esmeralda. I was just telling John Tatey that you have your own segment.
What is this segment, Esmeralda?
It's essentially they ask me, they show me products and ask if I would buy that. Because I'm a big, I
aptly
love,
titled then.
Yeah, no, I love infomercials
yeah.
and all that stuff. And I have a bunch of gadgets that I've bought impulsively.
Some of that works really well, I would say.
Yeah, no, I have a few.
A lot of it doesn't.
I have the magic bullet. I have the Nutribullet.
I've had the bullet.
Oh, yeah, I have those a buddy at work who swears by that thing.
It's great.
Especially for traveling. They're small. They're practical. Well, Tim wants practical because he practically wants to get in here.
Tim waited through the whole break.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you, Tim, on the way to the airport to get your son.
No,
where's your son flying in from?
He works on Catalina Island. He works at a summer camp, and then he's off for a couple of weeks. Then he's an environmental ed teacher at a camp on Catalina Island.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
When he was younger and started being interested in the environment, is he kind of aggressive when it comes to recycling? And I see like in a household where this is sort of this cultural like generational push and pull. Has he?
We got into it today because he was telling me that about some organic shorts he bought. And I'm like, organic? What do you mean?
Shorts?
Organic cotton. Yeah, organic cotton shorts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, but why do they have to be organic unless you're going to eat them?
See?
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I knew it.
He's really environmental. Yeah, he's big time.
To what extent? Like, what are some of the extreme things he's trying to get you and your family to do?
Well, it's just, he's always got a suggestion for everything that we're doing. I mean, it can't be worked out.
That says it all.
They recycle everything. They collect their own, they save all their gray waters. I mean, they do some great stuff.
Right,
and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm too much of a consumer to kind of make some of these changes.
Well, you're a good papa. And I'm glad that he's coming home to spend some time with the family.
Yeah, you really sound like a good dad, Tim.
So cool.
I'm rooting for you. Now, we've got three themes left, so you only have to get two out of three, Tim. And you know the game, right? I'm going to give you the lyrics. You tell me the show. Here's the first one. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person.
Betty's father.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a player.
He is a consumer.
Here.
All right, here we go.
Well done. Okay.
Sorry, I'll wait till you're done next time.
No,
no.
I love your enthusiasm,
yes.
Tim. Don't hold back. Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world. That is correct. It is Maude.
That's a great show, by the way.
I'll finish that one up. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really cooked. That's such great lyrics. It is Maude. Wow, Tim, you came to play.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good. Can I see if you can go three for three?
Give you
one more? Okay. Just when you think there's no one around who's caring, along comes a friend who offers a hand in sharing, and things start looking fine. If you get this one, I will fall off my chair. Just when you think there's no one around who's caring, along comes a friend who offers a hand in sharing, and things start looking fine.
Wow, it sounds like 70s sappy kind of stuff.
It's 80s.
Oh, it's 80s? Mm. Okay.
80s sappy.
Webster.
Good guess. It is reminiscent of the Webster lyrics. This is Kate and Alley, the Jane Curtin show.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
should I not have given it away?
No, it's fine. No, we're good. Were there any that we didn't get corrected for Matt that we can use?
We're
giving him the
prize.
Tim's
already won.
He has won.
Tim,
yes.
Let me see if.
Now I just want to challenge him.
Yeah, can I give you some of the earlier ones?
Okay.
That
first one was a tough one.
Yeah.
That first one, actually, I should say Matt did get that after we went off the air, and he kicked himself.
Let's see if Tim would get it.
Yeah. Well, Tim says Tim, if what doesn't kill us is making us stronger, we're going to last longer than that greatest wall in China or that rabbit with the drum. Final season only lyrics on this show. It was the same theme song in the earlier seasons, but it didn't have lyrics.
Wasn't duet, was it?
Say it again.
Duet?
Nope. Good guess.
The show on Fox, it was a couple who start, you know, I mean, I'm listening to it. It's got to be something, you know, sappy romance, and I was thinking.
I'd be surprised. I was surprised to find out that it was.
Esmeralda, do you know?
It's Roseanne.
That's correct.
That's so weird.
Roseanne, final
lyrics
season
by
lyrics.
Blues Traveler, right?
That's right. Very good.
What is happening? I had no idea.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see what else did we miss here. Okay, every time I turn around, I see the girl who turns my world around standing there. But how brilliant is the lyricist here, by the way, to rhyme around with around? They really went out of their way, didn't they?
Well, they came back around. They were like, you know what? They looked high and low.
Every time I turn around, I see the girl who turns my world around standing there. This is from the 80s. You got a guess, Tim?
The
only thing that was popping in my head was, and I think I'm wrong, but the only thing that's coming to mind is Mad About You.
Oh, I wish it were. It was Punky Brewster.
Ooh, I saw someone.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
been beyond me or whatever. Yeah.
Well, Tim, we've got some prizes for you.
My brother would have got it.
Here, I wonder if your son would like this. I think you guys can go ziplining at Go Ape Treetop Adventure with suspended obstacles, Tarzan swings, and a breathtaking zip line at Bemis Woods in the Cook County Forest Preserve near Forest Springs. Everyone can go to goape.com to book their experience, but you can go as soon as you want because we're going to send you those tickets there. And we also have a Lumount there. I don't know what that was. A Lou Malnati's gift certificate to Lou's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Go to loumalnati's.com. And hold on the line, and Craig will get your information and get those prizes to
Thanks
you.
Thanks for playing, Tim. Nice job.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Well done.
There's one more. I just, for the listener's sake, I want to get back to one more that Matt couldn't get. I think he couldn't get it. There's a holdup in the Bronx, Brooklyn's. Did we get this one?
No one got
this. There's a
holdup
in the Bronx, Brooklyn's, broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. I was actually a little surprised that... this is maybe one of the most famous ones, except I didn't say the most famous line from it because it's the name of the show.
Car 51?
Car 54, where are you? That is right, Patty.
Car 50. I thought, well, I'm not right because I said 51. Car 50.
Yeah, well,
I got the idea.
You're right in spirit, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. There you go. Car 54.
Where are you? What a great classic theme that was.
And I've never seen an episode of that.
No?
Was that with Ed Gwynn?
Fred Gwynn,
I've heard it both ways.
So have I in the last 10 seconds. yes, more famous for the Munsters, but before that he was on Car 54. Where are you?
I had no idea.
Just sort of a light cop comedy.
Very good.
Everything was a light comedy in the 50s.
It was. It was. Look at, we were watching some of the, Sergeant Bilko, we were watching that. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was watching that with some of the Marines, actually, while we were waiting for
Phil Silvers.
Yes. That's a great show. Dick Van Dyke was on that show. A lot of great actors.
I'm surprised that's not more fondly remembered, because it was an excellent show, and there was a lot of talent on it, as you say. I actually liked the movie, the Steve Martin movie that they made of it, too. Not a great movie, but pretty enjoyable, I thought.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that movie, because that was how we came back around to the original, because a couple of the Marines said they had seen a clip and thought it was really funny, sort of these antics in the barracks. So
of the movie or the show?
The movie, Steve Martin movie. So then I showed them clips of the original, and they enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, as well they should. But yeah, the movie's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fair. And now, do you have anything you're looking forward to as far as movies go? Because I'm not. It seems like a very lackluster year for movies.
No,
and they're talking about how they're losing money on some of these big blockbusters. Ben-Hur was a dismal disaster last
weekend. Ben-Hur, I forgot that even came out.
Yeah.
Man.
So did the people who went to the movie theaters.
Who didn't, yeah.
Yeah, people didn't go see it. Suicide Squad, there's a lot of talk about how these big blockbusters have a great opening weekend, but word of mouth and, you know, people aren't going. Part of what really makes a blockbuster, I think, is not just the positive word of mouth, but people who have to go back and see it over and over again. Do you remember, like, Titanic?
Good point.
I mean, that.
Yes, that's right.
People
went back and saw that 4-hour movie again and
again. Over and over. I mean, they just couldn't stop seeing it. And I think that's part of what a real blockbuster is something that's so compelling that you feel like you missed something. I want to go see it again. And I think that's the true mark.
I like that. That's always the thing about Star Wars, is you got to see it a bunch of times. I mean, I saw that twice in the theaters.
Exactly.
No, I've really been looking forward more to TV. Can I do a TV pick right before the news
here?
Yes,
of course.
It actually, the season premiere was tonight, third season premiere, Halt and Catch Fire on AMC. It's about the 80s PC revolution. It's not getting the viewership it deserved. It was really on the bubble on AMC. And for something to be on the bubble on AMC, it's got to be pretty low rated. Watch it. Give it a try. I think that the first two seasons are on Netflix right now.
Okay.
But you can stream them somewhere if you want to catch up. It's really an excellent show. Kind of like a Mad Men type period piece, but in the 80s. And Lee Pace, the star, is, I don't know, everybody's good. Scoot McNairy. First of all, he's named Scoot. How can you not love that?
You can't go wrong.
But he's fantastic on it. It's a really it's a good show. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well,
the
best show I've seen in years was on your recommendation, which was Fargo. And I started with season two and loved it, and then I watched season one. I don't know if I would have watched if I would have been as hot and heavy to watch season two if I'd seen season one first. Does that make sense?
Really? Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, I saw season two first because you were really excited about it, and it yeah. was amazing. I liked season one, but season two is incredible.
I think they're both phenomenal, but they're such they're different beasts.
Yes. So I will go and watch. I will watch *Halt and Catch Fire*.
I would love to hear what you think of it, Patty.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't think of anything I would recommend to you. Although I saw *Strange Things*. I don't know that you did.
*Stranger Things*.
Sure, that too. *Stranger Things*.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing it on purpose.
No. Neither am I.
I guess not.
But I hope not. Rob Martieri, do you jump in on any of these cultural sort of like tidal waves where people are compelled to watch what everybody else is watching, like, you know, Making of a Murderer and now it's Stranger Things? Do you watch any of those?
Yeah, the only one that I've really gotten into has been House of Cards.
Okay.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a big
yeah.
one, too. I know. And Craig, you watched House of Cards. Have you watched Stranger Things?
Yeah, no. I actually did a podcast on Stranger Things.
I think it was good. Like, I wasn't as like it sort of petered out for me toward the end. Like,
Really?
I thought the last episode was really good.
I thought it was good. I liked the last 10 minutes of the last episode.
Yep,
Esmeralda, are you watching any of the big?
I haven't seen Stranger Things, and it's only because I'm waiting
for everyone to stop talking about it so much.
No. I'm waiting to because I want to watch it with someone. So I'm waiting
That's sweet.
Sit around and watch and essentially binge watch it with Colin. So.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that. Well, and I think, Rob, I think you might like Stranger Things. It has so many elements of the movies that you and I grew up on, I think. Yeah. And like it has yes. a little bit of, yeah, I mean, a lot of parts E.T., mm-hmm. Just the whole
Goonies.
80s. Yeah, Goonies, all that stuff. Yeah, so yeah. I really enjoyed it a lot. But again, they are making another season. Have they said if they're making this like a True Detective or is it going to be a...
They have not said.
They've not said if it's still Winona Ryder and all that cast, like the same cast.
We don't know yet.
Ooh, Winona Ryder's in it?
Yes.
Oh, she's one of my favorites.
She's really good. And I love Matthew Modine, and he is not a good guy in this. He is not... There it is.
What's that?
All right.
Ooh, I like this. Here we go. The news is coming. You know
I
what
like
that sound means.
I know. It's time to move along. WGNplus.com and join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Or send us an email. That means that we're time. It's time to talk to Rich Lenkov, our favorite half of Legal Face Off. The other guy being Jason something or another. Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Keep that song going. I'm rocking out to it.
Are you jamming late on a Tuesday night?
I'm twerking here on my own, but
let me live there for a minute. Wait, I want to see you twerking in my mind. Hold on. Oh, yep, I got it. Good job.
Too much. Too soon?
No, it's all good. It's all good. Well, do you stay up this late or just to do our show, or are you up working on different cases?
I'm up. I'm not a sleeper very much, so I'm usually up fairly late. I'm actually on the East Coast right now, so it's even later.
Oh, gosh. What are you doing on the East Coast?
I'm in Orlando. I'm actually speaking at a conference tomorrow. So, it's a little after 1 o'clock here in Orlando.
What are you? What's the topic that you're speaking on tomorrow?
Oh, it's fascinating. It's a it's an insurance conference. So, if you need help sleeping, I can actually tell you a little bit about my topic. But
I'm all in. Tell me about the insurance.
It's 4,000 insurance people. You can imagine how much of a party that is.
Oh boy, look out!
Although we had a 90s band, Third Eye Blind.
Oh, that's fun. So that's why you're still dancing and twerking in your hotel room.
Exactly. I'm playing that one Third Eye Blind song over and over again in my room.
Oh boy. Now I know that you sent us a couple of stories. I want to talk first about Melania Trump saying that she wants to take legal action after some news outlets have published stories that she was an escort. I haven't even heard any. All I saw were people kind of making comments on social media. And I guess once, you know, something like that takes fire, people will start talking about it. Does she have any legal standing to fight stories like that?
I mean, you know, her lawyers have sent out letters to, I think, about 10 news organizations that have reported on this story of her being an escort years ago, and also her being in the country illegally. That part's been reported by a lot of media. Does she have a case? I mean, probably not. you know, the standard for a defamation or a libel action is tough if you're a public figure. You basically have to prove malice on the part of the news media. You know, so it's actually a pretty hard case to prove. If you're a private figure, it's actually, you know, a little easier. You just have to prove simple negligence. But as a public figure, which she is, according to a case from back in the 60s called New York Times versus Sullivan, the standard is a little tougher.
Does she, is it worse because she tries to fight it? Is this the kind of thing where perhaps it would be better to let them sort of, you know, toil in these rumors? Or will jumping in then make her have to defend herself, and then possibly people who can witness or say that they were there or they did hire her? Doesn't she kind of run the risk of making it worse?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, from a, you know, public relations standpoint, you know, you're giving credence to a lot of these, you know, a lot of these stories and more facts coming out. But from her perspective, I mean, if she feels, you know, if there's no truth to it,
right? Of course,
you know, a lot of them feel that it's worth fighting. But remember, I mean, the reason that most of these cases don't proceed, you know, people probably wonder, well, why doesn't, you know, when you see Brad Pitt on the cover of National Enquirer being pregnant, you know, why doesn't Brad Pitt sue the National Enquirer every single edition? The answer is because those are really expensive lawsuits. I mean, the bottom line is it's expensive to fight those, and these organizations, you know, many of whom are consolidated by a couple of different big brands, have a lot of legal resources, have a lot of money to fight it. So, you know, the reason a lot of these cases don't get filed in the first place or get settled quickly is because they're expensive.
Right. And the thing is, even if a news organization makes what is, you know, you know, to be a false statement or defamatory, you can't, to fight that is an extensive battle. And it's, the chances of you getting a settlement are pretty slim, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, again, like a public figure plaintiff, like she is, like Melania Trump is, would have to show actual malice by clear and convincing evidence. You know, the burden of proof in a regular civil case is preponderance of the evidence. In this type of action, she has to prove by a clear and convincing standard that the media had actual malice. And, you know, that's the thing about that. I mean, it's not really that complicated. How are you going to prove that a media outlet had malice in publishing that story? That's almost impossible to prove.
I imagine, unless you consider wanting to sell papers to be malice, it seems more like it's for profit than malice.
Exactly. I mean, it's sensational, right? And that kind of stuff sells. We're talking about it. So, but that's not malice. You'd have to, you know, through discovery, determine that there was some discussion at some point that we should get Melania Trump, not because it'll sell papers, but simply because we're malicious, which, again, is almost impossible, I think, to prove.
Right. I agree. Well, you know, we don't wish her any ill will, but we will talk about these things when they come up in the news. I think that's the way to go.
Careful. You'll get a letter. The Trump organization might be sending you a letter as we speak.
Have you seen this? This is not legal or political. Well, it's a little bit political. There, a lot of people are mentioning on Facebook that they're getting these emails thanking people for being Trump supporters, which just kind of cracks me up. It's a sort of, you know, they're obviously fishing for, or just trying to, you know, they've got mailing lists and they're just sending one to everybody thanking them for being supporters. But it just makes for funny posts on Facebook to see someone who clearly would never support Donald Trump. And the opposite would be true if you were, you know, not a Hillary supporter getting those. It just kind of cracks. It's sort of a personal, like, sort of defamation to some people.
Well, it's funny that you say that because a friend of mine who's a plaintiff's lawyer and not Jason Whiteside, I can't believe I have more than one friend as a plaintiff's lawyer because, you know, most plaintiff's lawyers I find repulsive. But another plaintiff's lawyer friend of mine is actually leading a class action lawsuit, representing a class action against Trump for the robocalls.
Really?
Yeah, and which, you know, doesn't seem like it should be a thing, but it is. So yeah, they're suing the Trump organization for the robocalls, similar to what you're describing.
Well, with robocalling, haven't they decided that's protected by the First Amendment?
Well, it's subject to some FCC regulations. It is protected speech, but it's subject to regulations, and, you know, they've cracked down on what you could do just because, you know, it's annoying, basically.
Right? Yeah, where does that, what is that covered by in any sort of legal process? I am annoyed by this.
Exactly, right.
You also sent us a story about Misha Barton not showing up for a movie role. Are, now, do you cover any entertainment law? Have you been involved?
I do some entertainment law. I've represented, you know, I've worked on some projects. Also, you know, produced a couple films. So I'm sympathetic to the screenwriter, in this case, who sued Misha Barton. And was awarded $200,000 plus interest because she failed to show up for production. And to add sort of insult to injury, she was boasting on Twitter that she was in Rome during the period in question. So not only did she not show up for the film that she, you know, was contracted to be in, but she was off in Europe.
Oh, jeez. Right, so it's clear that she was never even going to bother upholding her end of a legal contract.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So,
well, that's annoying.
Yeah, so she'll have to somehow put that money together. She hasn't been seen in too many movies, so I think it'll be a challenge for her to come up with that judgment.
Well, for $200,000, you'd think someone would show up. And I would imagine that also has an effect on her professional career. Would, you know, when another contract comes along, would they make it even tighter as far as if she violates the contract?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, most productions have insurance for that kind of thing, but at the end of the day, if you don't have the star, you know, or one of the stars of your film, that's, you know, kind of fatal to the production. So, yeah, I mean, if I was drafting the contract for her next film role, I'd be really specific about, you know, what her requirements are and also the damages if she failed to live up to her end of the contract.
Well, a lot of times when these stars do that, they don't realize that they're also affecting everybody on, you know, whether it's the crew, the writer, the producers. There's so many people who, you know, put their hard work into something like that, and to have her come along and just ruin it for people is disheartening.
Well, exactly, and you know, I mean, listen, most films are not these, you know, extravagant blockbusters. I mean, there are some, but most films have a really tight budget. And you can't afford to lose, you know, even a day or even a couple hours of filming, right? And if you do lose that because the star doesn't show up, that takes an incredible financial toll on the production.
Well, as we are talking about movie production, were you on the set a lot when you were doing the documentary for the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I mean, every aspect of the film, you know, I was lead producer, so pretty much had my hand in everything. We're not, you know, we're independent film, so small budget, really, really small crew. So, you know, you think that making a movie about the Bears is glamorous. I was, you know, running to bring some basic food to the production. I was, you know, doing some camera work, holding microphones. So, yeah, with a tight budget, independent film.
A little run and gun for you.
Pretty much doing everything. But, yeah, that's kind of the fun of it, you know.
Where did your passion for the 85 Bears come? Were you a big Bears fan before 85, or was it kind of that was the magic team for you?
It was kind of the magic team. I actually, you know, I didn't grow up in Chicago. I grew up in Montreal, up in Canada. So, you know, didn't sort of grow up with the Bears, but loved the NFL ever since I was a kid. I was a big follower of American football. You know, we have Canadian football up in Montreal, a little different animal, but I was a huge fan of the NFL. And you know, obviously that team was huge everywhere. I mean, not just the United States, but was huge in Europe and here. Obviously, you know, it was huge in Montreal. And I actually, I have pictures to prove it. I had a poster on my wall. I had two posters. I had many, like, sports posters on my wall. I was a huge sports fan. But one of the posters was Walter's Run, the old poster of Walter Payton running up the hill. And leaving, like, defenders on the ground. So I had that poster well before 85. I also had, this would have been later, probably in the late 80s, but I had a poster of Chicago. It was a Chicago magazine with Peyton, Dawson, and Jordan.
Right, that makes sense.
And Tuxedo. So I had those guys on my wall. And yeah, so I mean, I think 85 was a big year for me. My dad, who's still, you know, alive and not a huge football fan, but he loved that team just because all the characters. He loved the Fridge. So, you know, overall, that was a big team for me.
We are talking to Rich Lenkov, the better half, well, the half that we talked to, which makes him the better half of Legal Face Off. You can go to WGNplus.com and listen to their podcast, Legal Face Off. Can we talk a little bit more about your documentary and other legal stories in a moment?
Yeah, I would love to.
Excellent. More after this on 720 WGN. It's Pretty Late. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Before the break, we were talking to attorney Rich Lenkov, who is the stellar half of Legal Face Off. Go to WGNplus.com to catch all their podcasts. And you have a documentary about the 85. Is it still called? I'm looking at an article about the making of it. Is 85 the untold story of the greatest team in pro football history?
We shorten it. We shorten it just because it was a bit of a mouthful. It's 85. The greatest team in pro football history. So, yes, that is the title.
When people argue with you about that, because I'm guessing someone's got to come up to you and posit that there's another team that is greater, who do they try to say?
I mean, literally all the time. Like tonight, I ran into a buddy of mine from New Orleans, and he was giving us crap about the 72 Dolphins. That's usually, you know, it's either the 72 Dolphins were undefeated. Right.
Right.
It was only a 12-game season back then. So.
Oh, see? Not even the same.
Who can't win 12 games? So that team's mentioned. And then, you know, the Steelers from the 70s that won 4 rings under Bradshaw. That team is mentioned. But, I mean, you know, we think that it's a no-brainer. This team for one season, one year. They lost one game.
Which was the Miami Dolphins, oddly enough.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, we think that the title is appropriate for sure.
For all the stories that you capture in this documentary, what's one of your favorite things on the field that that came through from all the coverage that you did with the players?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, one story that I love that I didn't know about, like, what we tried to deliver, because, you know, obviously there was a 30 for 30 that was on the same subject that came out 6 months ago or so, which we thought was, you know, great, great product. Ours is a little bit different take. And what we're trying to deliver is some stuff you haven't heard before. I mean, inevitably, listen, you know, this team has been well covered. There's only so much new, but we did uncover some pretty cool stories. And one of them was just about the Gatorade bath, the Gatorade shower that we're all so familiar with.
Yeah.
Conventional wisdom was always that was invented by Harry Carson of the Giants in 86. They were dousing Bill Parcells a lot. And what Hampton tells us in the film is that the Bears actually came up with the idea first in 85. So I won't tell you more about the details of that, but that was one thing that I had never heard before. And there's a million cool stories like that, and a lot of, you know, really touching stuff about the teammates and, you know, of course, some guys who aren't around anymore. So, yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure of meeting some of the players at an event last year. Richard Dent, Otis Wilson, what a great guy. And ages so well. He looks good.
You know, Otis is our co-producer. He's the he was the Bear that we, you know, worked on the film with. And, I mean, he looks like, tell him every time I see him, he looks like he could go play tomorrow. I mean,
I agree.
Phenomenal shape. Great guy. I mean, you know, the amazing thing is these guys, and what I always thought was really unique, what actually really first sort of made me come up with the idea was, how many other teams in any sport, in any city, in any year, could you still see around town 30 years later? I mean, it's impossible. Like, you know, can you name 4 players from the, I don't know, 07 Patriots or the, like, 2012 Giants, any of these teams? I mean,
no.
You know, a week later, they're forgotten about. Yet 31 years later, you know, Otis Wilson gets requests, you know, almost every weekend of the year to appear somewhere. So it's kind of unique.
Yeah, those guys really they made playing sports not just something that we admired, and their athleticism was amazing, their prowess is undeniable, but they just seemed to have so much fun. Whether or not that was real or created, we really just enjoyed them. It was just a great year to be in Chicago.
Yeah, I wish I was here that year. but, you know, just living, you know, living in a different country, sure. I still feel like, you know, I follow the team, you know. And to your point, yeah, I mean, just amazing characters and lots of fun and great year for the city of Chicago.
We do have to take a break, but you know what? Let's just do this, and I hate to do this quickly. Esmeralda, I know that you had posted a story on your page that made your skin crawl, and you asked if you were taking crazy pills. Yet another judge has decided no jail for a rape case for an athlete who is going off to college. He admitted he was charged with raping two girls at a party, admitted to raping one of them, and the judge has decided to give him probation. And if he, you know, makes it through probation without any issues, apparently his record will be clear. He does not have to register as a sexual offender. And this is the kind of thing that just makes us crazy. Is it this hard to get judges? I mean, what is the standard for giving someone jail time for rape?
You know, it's nuts. I mean, I saw the story. You know, it reminds us of the Stanford Stanford case that was similar. It's ridiculous. I mean, I think the judge is way off, you know, and it's not only inappropriate for this particular defendant, but the larger message that it sends to women who have been abused, to men, to society in general is, you know, you do this to not one but two women and you're going to get a slap on the wrist. I mean, I've got no good answer as to why this judge would do that. Except for, you know, this guy was young, and I guess from reading the judge's decision, he felt that it would have, you know, an adverse effect on his life. But hey, judge, what about the effect it had on these two women? Right, it will never be the same.
Right.
So I think it's not.
Is this the kind of thing that the only resolution is to pay attention to what judges in your community, in your counties, are doing, and hold them accountable and vote them out?
No question. I mean, a lot of these judges do run for office. I mean, some are appointed, but yeah, I mean, there's no question that this judge should face the music for this decision that he made. And, you know, I don't know if this judge is appointed or elected, but definitely there should be some repercussions for it.
Well, I thank you for helping us have a conversation about this and a lot of other legal cases. And we look forward to talking to you next week, I hope. And I'll see you on Saturday for the screening.
Yeah, we're holding a screening for like a sneak preview for some friends and family. So yeah, would love to see you there.
That'd be great. All right, have a great night. I hope you get some sleep, but otherwise, you know, you and I, we did. Besides, even when we try to sleep, something's gonna wake us up. There's no getting sure around enough. It. Whether it's our thoughts or people being loud down the hall. Have a great night, Rich.
Thanks, Patty.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We have a Bill and Wendy replay tonight. Before we do that, I want to remind you that we need your help programming our show on Wednesdays and Thursdays, actually. We no longer cover Trump and Hillary stories. We don't do Donald Trump stories. We don't do Hillary Clinton stories. We're not talking about it. In passing, we talked about Melania Trump and her legal case, but that was under the umbrella of talking to Rich Lenkov. But there's just too much. Just too much nuttiness. Things change from moment to moment. But we want to know what you want us to talk about. On Wednesdays, we do Trump Trackers, which was named by our very own Esmeralda Leon, because she gets it. She gets what we're trying to do. And right? We're just trying to track it. Hillary's hurlers, I'm not sure if that works, but we haven't gotten any suggestions for better ones. If you do have one, let us know, 312-981. You can call or text us, and Craig will let us know what those are. So 312-981-7200. On Wednesdays at midnight, we do Trump Trackers, and we talk about all the crazy stories of the week. So if there's any audio that you would like us to play so we can talk about it, we'd appreciate it. Otherwise, we'll pull our own. But this is in response to both our own, I think, reflexes to the oversaturation of Donald Trump stories and Hillary Clinton stories. So let us know what you want to talk about, or not. You may still not want to hear anything about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, but we do have to do some of it. I mean, it's happening. It's just gotten a little bit nutty. So please let us know what you would like us to discuss. You can send those to Patty Happens, PATTIHappens@gmail.com, and to Craig Collins as well, CC Ollins. That's not really what it is. It's whenever I type it out, I'm like, what is it? It's CC Ollins. It's CCollins@WGNradio.com. So let us know if both Hillary and Donald audio clips. So we can play those, talk about them, pull them apart, put them back together again, try to make sense of them. We won't be able to, but we will do our very best. But the rule is it has to be from Wednesday to Wednesday for Donald Trump. Can't be anything before that. And Thursday to Thursday for Hillary. So nothing about any of his investments, unless there's new stories, and nothing about her emails or Benghazi, unless there's something new that happens. And there has been. So we can talk about that on Thursday. And Scott Santas is here for that. And tomorrow night we'll have Brandon C. Price joining us as well. So we have, I listen to the station all day long. The first thing I do when I wake up is turn on WGN Radio. In general, I end up waking up to Bill and Wendy. That's about my... Although today, can I just say, I love my mom a lot, and we have to have the landscaping done. So she, I'm sure that... I know that she's asked them to try to keep... You can't ask someone to keep a leaf blower down. There's no like, hey, do you have a volume control for that? And I'm pretty sure the guy running the leaf blower just was under my window, really going to town on just one leaf. I was very loud at noon, so I woke up extremely grouchy. Gee, having fallen asleep at 9 a.m. And Esmeralda, you've had those mornings where, because you wake up about, you get up around noon as well,
right?
Noon, 1 o'clock.
No, I had a few weeks ago a dog barking in my in my building, and all I just, the dog was just cry barking, you know, because it was probably alone or whatever. I even, to the point where I went up to the floor where it was at, and I went, hey, shh. And I shushed. Didn't work.
Oh, no. Was there more crying, cry barking?
There was just still cry barking. Yeah,
oh,
didn't
man.
Work.
Are you able to fall asleep after something like that?
I was able to. I think it quieted down. I don't know what happened or what happened to the puppy, but
I hope nothing bad happened to it.
It got quiet.
It got quiet.
Thankfully.
Some other neighbor took matters into their own hands.
Maybe.
We don't know. None of our business. Are you, so you can't fall asleep after that though? Cause I can't fall asleep.
No, I can.
Oh,
I'll probably stay up a little bit and then just
pass out. Craig, can you fall asleep after you've woken up to something?
No, never. Once something gets me up, and like you, if it's something that's really annoying, the trash collectors are right outside my window.
Yes.
And so every, what is it, Tuesday morning or Monday morning, once a week, they make a bunch of noise, and then I'm awake at 8 o'clock from that day on.
And one of the listeners sent me a message saying use earplugs, but I can't sleep with earplugs, and it just feels like there's like it's like just gunk in my ears. Those are weird. So I woke up to Bill and Wendy today having several. One of the conversations was about Wendy had decided to have a lozenge during a break, and then still tried to carry on the show with a lozenge. But I missed this part. Stephanie Menendez told us that Bill lives on he gets an allowance. And I can't wrap my mind around this, so let's hear that.
Here's an idea. Why don't you go visit your dad?
He charges me now.
For the pictures or
yeah.
The visit?
The visit is a $10 flat fee, but then it's 50 cents per picture. That adds up quick. I only get 20 bucks a day, Wendy.
I know, and I felt very sorry for you yesterday because, was it yesterday you didn't have money?
Yeah, on Monday, because Terry had been out of town all week, and she does. She gives me $20 a day, and I can do whatever I want with it. It's a really nice situation.
Yeah, but you have a little thing going because she leaves it on the dresser for you, and it makes you feel like
it feels tawdry.
Yes, I was just going to use that word.
I like it because it feels like
something I'm worth a $20
dangerous
bill.
Has happened. Right. And I've suggested that she could tip on that, but she said that there's no reason to, that the 20 flat is fine.
But she just honestly every day puts a $20 bill there.
Correct.
Don't you have a debit card?
No, I do not. Because I'm an impulsive buyer. I see stuff every day that's ridiculous that I go, I would love to have that. And I would buy, if I had a debit card, I would have that.
Well, what is, like, give us an example. What did you see yesterday?
A pinball machine.
Okay, you don't need any kind of
But if I had a debit card, I would own that pinball machine. I'm telling you, it would be, when she explained to me that it's better for us for me to just have $20 a day, every word of it, like usually there'd be some debate, but there wasn't any debate. I go, yeah, that's true.
So she sat you down and she said, Bill, I think maybe if we just...
This is how it's going to be. That's what she said.
Limited you to a $20 bill a day.
That's a lot of money.
But it's when you say it that way, it sounds like she's some sort of a czar, and I'm one of the downtrodden in her world. No, it really I really do have a problem with buying things. Like I just anytime I see something, I go, that would be fun to own. And then I buy it. And that's out of control.
But other than the Happy Lobster truck, when it's out there where it's $17 for a lobster roll.
That's totally what I was thinking about.
But right. He has leftover money. So do you then at the end of the week have some extra money?
No.
You spend $20 a day?
Yeah, because sometimes that's gas, sometimes it's lunch, sometimes it's both.
You buy your gas out of your $20.
Yes.
Really love it.
Yes.
You are just interesting. Can I just say that?
Do you go hungry on your gas days?
No, because I'll put in $10 of gas, and that still leaves me $10 for lunch. You know, so that's
$20 a day is a lot of money.
Can't get gas today. It's lobster roll day.
Right. You'll see my Jeep pulled off on the side of Lakeshore Drive, and you'll know as you pass me, well, he probably got a lobster roll today because he doesn't have any gasoline.
I don't spend $20 a day.
Well, see, that's what I mean. It seems like an equitable amount, doesn't it?
It seems like a lot. She should give you $10 a day. Oh, good.
Static.
Sorry.
Radio static.
I'm sorry.
Don't say that. I had to fight for 20.
You're so cute. All right, back to the WGN website.
I wonder if we could do that. Could you? 312-981-7200. Can you live on 20? I mean, yes, obviously you can live on $20 a day. Do you want to make it on 20 with gas? And if you're going out to eat, I guess I eat out too much is probably my problem. I eat out too much. I'm trying to think of how much I spent today. But I take credit cards. Could you manage going out without a credit card and just cash? $20 a day?
I've tried doing that. I had signed up a few months back. I signed up to like a money management thing that was supposed to be like, it's cheaper and it's not so hoity-toity.
Right.
And the way that they had me to try to budget was take out what the week's money was going to be in cash. So then that way you don't spend on the card and it's, so you have the money and you have to be like, this is all I have for the week. So now I have to figure out.
Right. You're more accountable for it that way.
Exactly.
See, I don't think I'm very accountable.
I never did it.
You never did it?
I never took out the money because I was always like, oh, my ATM's not around here. Oh, I just got to use my card.
I don't know how I've made it this far without being more responsible with money. I mean, like, I'm not in debt. I've never carried a lot of debt. Like, maybe I had a car. Like, we had car payments. But somehow I don't spend a lot, though. I'm like, I never buy, like, anything extravagant. I don't really shop for clothes as much anymore. I think I told you the story about the dress I wore last week. I was wearing, my mom said, I know you did not see that dress in the store. If you had seen that in person, you would not have bought that. You must have bought that online. And I was like, I bought this in the store. I tried it on and everything, and I still bought it. And I think it was less than $20. It was like on a clearance rack. But that would have been my $20 for the day. And then, but yeah. Craig, can you $20 a day? Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I could do it. I do have the same problem Bill has, though. I am an impulse buyer a little bit, especially with these Funko Pop collectible Marvel characters.
Uh-huh.
Those are like $15, $16. I see one of those in a store.
You're done for the day.
I buy it.
Plus
I can't get food anymore.
Yeah.
So every so often, I think that I would also do well on this sort of plan, though.
How many do you have of these Funko?
I have 12 right now, and I usually just get one when they're in a store.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm trying not to collect more of them, and Betty is trying to put some of them like away because I display them near my television,
right?
And she's secretly trying to move ones and see if I notice those.
Yeah, I think you noticed that.
Yeah, there's only 12.
Especially you're collecting them.
Right.
How many are there to collect?
A lot, because they have all different kinds of things. It's not just Marvel. I have Game of Thrones. I have a couple other things too. So
you need like a display case.
I do. Well, Bill has an amazing display case in his house.
Well, you know, his collection is at one point, I believe, was one of the
biggest,
most remarkable in the country.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's very, very impressive.
I mean, his action figure. Well,
right.
None of that sounds right, the way I'm saying. It, I think.
No, I think he's okay with that.
Yeah. No, I'm an impulse buyer online, so mm-hmm. That's where credit cards are, where you start getting into trouble.
Yeah. Well, there would be no way for Bill or I to buy anything online if all we had was cash.
$20 cash. That's what I'm saying. So he's not allowed to have debit or credit. Do you have a debit or credit card?
I have both, yes.
Yes. So you're allowed to leave the house with cash and debit cards.
I can.
Yes.
As of right now. We'll see how many more Funko Pops it takes.
Could you impose? I would always think I'll need a credit card for an emergency.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I would never want to go out without any sort of backup.
Yeah. without just the $20. Isn't that bizarre where we've come to this point in America that you have to have, you don't even really have to have cash that much.
No.
It's weird when you have to have cash.
I barely ever have cash.
Yeah. I mostly have credit cards. 312-981-7200. Have you been able to turn your finances around in some way? Because finances make me, like, anytime I hear someone talking about how to fix your credit rating or how to save for your retirement, like, my brain just goes, I want to listen to fun music now. I can't. This is making me anxious. It's not healthy. I finally, for the first time in my life, have a retirement fund. And I remember someone in my 20s telling me, just put away 10% of every paycheck. You know, at the time.
That's a lot.
10%. Well, at the time, it would have been like $20 a week I would have just put away.
Still?
Yeah.
I mean, need those $20.
I know. But now I'm like, I wish I had done it, because in your 20s, it's supposed to be like 10%. And if you didn't do it in your 20s, it's supposed to be like maybe 15, and it goes up from there to like 20%.
I started saving. I have an emergency fund.
Good.
That I started saving into.
That's very good.
But then now I keep taking payments out.
Well, that's as long as you know that you have to put it back in. Do you write a little note to yourself?
Well, no, I just don't.
An IOU?
Like, I had scheduled payments, and then I'd stop them.
Oh, really?
I'm like, I need this cash.
Oh. Do you still use checks?
No.
No.
No, I have a bank that is online only, mm-hmm. and so I can't even deposit. I have to take pictures of the checks and all that. Like, that's how they do that.
I have never taken a picture of a check. I've never done that.
That is the only way I can deposit in this place.
Mm. Well, we've got some calls coming in about your finances and what your thoughts are on being able to use $20 a day like Bill Left does. Should we all do it? Should we all do the Bill Left plan? It's not really his plan. I think it's his wife's plan.
I try to go less than 20.
15?
Not 12, even.
12.50.
I mean, some days I try not to spend anything because I'll bring food and... So, and other than that, I'm like, I'm not doing anything. So
like in a week, try to do 3 days on, 4 days off of spending.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do that. I like that idea.
And just sometimes because I'm like, I don't have any money. So that's going to happen.
Nothing's being bought today. Ray, we're going to take you when we come back. And we all want to hear what you have to say on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We've been talking about Bill Left's allowance. And his wife lets him have $20 a day. She puts $20 on the dresser. Like the paid boy that he is, apparently he has his purchasing instincts are a little bit off when it comes to being a responsible dad. So she limits him to $20 a day. There have to be some days where he gets to have a little more wiggle room. I would imagine, maybe not. I don't know what goes on in the Left household. Ray, what do you think?
Hey, Patty. Good morning.
Good morning.
I like to stick to the 3 day rule.
Okay.
When you see something, you don't buy it, but give yourself 3 days.
What if it's gone?
Well, that's it. But, when you think about it, about 80% of the time, you don't go back to buy it. And then, did you ever have the buyer's remorse? Like, you bought it, and then the next day, why did I buy this thing?
When I get the remorse, Ray, is usually if an item has to be returned within 30 days, on the 31st day is when I get buyer's remorse.
And then on a major or expensive item, try to find out so there's no misunderstanding what the return policy is.
Yes, I agree.
So, if it's not altered or anything just for you, just say, hey, it didn't work out for me. And I like it. Thank you for the time, but no thanks. With Bill, when he was alone years ago when he first started, he admitted that he gambled a lot. So maybe the $20 policy, he knows he doesn't have the money to. Maybe, that's how he stopped the gambling thing.
Well, and the thing is, like, I grew up in a household. My father was a gambler, and what really killed my dad were the credit cards. He would max out everyone's credit cards, including taking out credit cards in my name. So when I would try to get credit, I would have, and he had claimed a bankruptcy, and one of those cards was in my name. I was able to extract myself from that, and it was fine, but my dad had a problem. And it's true. I mean, he was interesting. And I think that, what was growing up like for you? How did your parents treat money with you? Did they, were they very good about saying, hey, don't spend more than you make, that kind of thing?
Well, my parents, my father was a grave digger. My mother was a cleaning lady.
Wow.
So,
hard workers.
Yeah, they came after the war. They didn't have anything. And my mom was, full stomach, clean bed, life is good. And, you know, the old line was you decorate the mahogany if you went out to a bar.
Right.
You put the cash up there. And I don't have an ATM card. You know, I know how much money, you know, on a daily basis. I do it on a weekly basis. I put in a month. You know, I put it, I deposit the paycheck and pick out the money and all that.
Right.
And spend it. And but you wouldn't believe I'm a landlord. You wouldn't believe how many tenants. Not people got smart after 2008. But I had tenants where to turn on their utilities, electric, telephone, they were putting bills in their children's names.
Because, yeah.
They had social security numbers, and they really messed up their credit.
Yep.
And even now I'm going with my brother. He's disabled, and he messed up his credit. He's 66. I had to get him a credit card on the primary, but I put him on a secondary. I told him, I said, you know, you can't walk around without a credit card these days. I said, I can't be here for you all the time.
Right.
You know, I said there'll be a situation you need a cab or whatever, whatever. We're just going to say, thank God, you know, I've got the credit card.
Right.
So, yeah. So thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you. Look forward to next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, I've talked to my mom about this a little bit, but the way I grew up with money in my household was very stressful. I thought that we were really, really, really poor. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but I grew up in this one-bedroom apartment and at one point shared a room with my mom, and then when she got tired of my sleepwalking, she made me sleep in the dining room with my dad in a bunk bed. She had thrown my dad out first because I told you I slept in a bunk bed with my dad. I'm fine. I don't have any issues whatsoever. But she did not let him sleep in her bedroom. You would think that my bedroom would be the dining room, but instead she made him sleep out there because he snored and smelled like cigarette smoke. And so I shared a room with her until I started sleepwalking too much and disrupting her sleep. Oh my God. Every night you are trying to pick up things to think to our Wonder Woman, Bionic Woman. I'm waking up and you're lifting me up out of, I can't. So she went to John M. Smith's and bought a bunk bed and had that put together in our dining room because we didn't really use that as a dining room. We had a kitchen, a dining room. It's not really even a dining room, just like the room that connected the living room to the kitchen and then her bedroom. So it was four rooms, a four-room apartment. And my parents lived there for 26 years. My father was a cab driver and my mother worked as a claims adjuster for the Railroad Retirement Board. For the federal government, and she screamed a lot about money. But now that I know more about how bad my dad was with money, it makes more sense to me. But I didn't understand that as a child. She was always yelling at him, Larry, where's the rent? Larry, I pay for the groceries. Just yelling all the time about money. And so like money just, it makes me so stressed out. And then when I found out how badly, my dad lost about $50,000 in gambling on the riverboats. Yeah. He maxed out all of our credit cards, ruined his own, he 7 years of bankruptcy. And it was rough. It was really, really hard. And I've always thought that one of the reasons my dad became an even worse gambler was when he quit drinking. He quit drinking when I was 18, and he never had anything else to sort of replace that, chasing that sort of that good feeling. That's what a lot of people who have a dependency, that, you know, to removing something and abstaining from it, sometimes it comes up in other ways that you need to find that sort of, they say that people with dependencies have a chemical that they lack in their brains. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And it's after 1 o'clock. I got a little more time with you. And I'm curious, Esmeralda, have you ever been a bridesmaid?
No, thank goodness.
Me neither. And Stephanie Menendez looked at me like she could not believe that I'd never been a bridesmaid. Has it ever come up to, have you ever, you know, has there been a chance, a possibility?
Nope.
With your friends? Never?
No.
Do you not have close girlfriends? I don't,
no,
by the way.
Really.
I'm saying that. I don't.
No, I don't. I don't either. My friends who have gotten married, and they're not that close.
Right.
She didn't even have bridesmaids. She had a maid of honor, and that was it.
There you go. And a smaller, first of all, a smaller wedding is cool. Just keep it simple.
So.
It's cheaper. It's less stress for everybody. You go to some of these weddings, and I've seen ones where there are six groomsmen and bridesmaids. Craig, have you been a groomsman?
Yeah, I've been a best man and a groomsman.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And which do you prefer, groomsman and best man? No, because I mean,
for guys, it's kind of easy. There's not. I mean, I held the rings and then I handed the rings off, and my job was kind of done. And then we throw a bachelor party.
And you never panicked about where the rings were?
No, I mean, because my brother was one of the times that I was a best man. He just handed them to me before the wedding started. he had them all the way up till then, and he just gave them to me, and I stood there and then gave them back. So I don't even know why he did that, but he goes, for the whole ceremony, you should at least hold these. And I said, okay.
For the ritual of it.
Right.
And the handing off of
it. Exactly.
Them. And how did the bachelor party go? Were you successful in throwing
that? That was just my brother and I. He wanted to go just the two of us. And actually, we talked about part of it here on the show.
You
we talked about the skydiving and a couple other things. So the whole bachelor party was amazing.
There you go. Yeah. Well done in your mm-hmm. duties. Because I don't think Craig realized, had you heard that women have to help each other pee when they are the bridesmaids?
I have heard that now.
Yes.
You guys have talked about that every day in the last couple of meetings.
Yes, yeah, so. because the dress is really big, and I did not need anyone. I didn't, for some reason, I just didn't have to go, but I did need someone to fasten my bustle because I had a big train. Esmeralda, because I'm Mexican. That's not why. I always wanted a big dress, and this was a dress that was off the rack. So it was, I tried on dresses all over the Chicagoland area and found one off the rack. Was basically, I could wear the demo dress. So all the, you know, when women come in and try on a dress and then see if they want to have it made, I could actually wear the one that was right off. It's like a size, I think it was a 6 or an 8 at the time.
Well, look at you.
So it was only, and I say only $400, like that's not a big, but like for a wedding dress, that seemed pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap. I mean, even prom dresses, people mm-hmm. go crazy and they spend so much money.
I think I spent more on my senior prom dress than I did on my wedding dress because my my senior prom dress was custom made. I designed it and then had someone make it.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay.
My mom was, she was a big deal. I think maybe it's partly because I'd never had a cotillion. I just realized maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was her way of making that up to me. Did you have a cotillion?
No.
Or quinceañera, I mean.
Again, like, yeah. I don't know. My family were pretty hands off on stuff like that. And right. I just knew, I was like, well, one, I don't even know that many people to have a right. big old party
oh, yeah,
like
I,
that.
I wouldn't have either.
Like all the groom, like it's like a wedding. It's yeah. insanity. And it's just, again, I guess I'm very reasonable because I was like, that's a lot of money that we I don't need you guys to try to spend.
Right. Let's just go out for dinner.
Right. Yeah.
That seems like a good idea. Go to the Gale Street Inn. I'm good. I had, so the dress was off the rack. I had I had two bridesmaids and I had two guys who were that we call them bridal attendants. Because like you and I said, I don't have that many girlfriends. So I just had guys stand up for me. Comedian Fred Klett and my friend Phil were my bridal attendants. And my friend Kathy and my niece Carrie were my bridesmaids. Steve had four groomsmen. And I think I don't know if he needed to have more. He had like a, you know, bunch of his friends. And they look so good. I love their tuxedos. It was morning coats. So it's kind of in between wearing tails and the kind of box cut. But my dad insisted on wearing a classic tuxedo to look like on. There are people outside the Showcase studio. Why am I so easily distracted by people just waving at me on Michigan Avenue? I really have to focus on this. Well, here's why I was asking about whether or not you've ever been a bridesmaid, Esmeralda. There's a woman who runs a company where basically she hires herself out to be a bridesmaid. It's a bridesmaid for hire. And there are different situations as to why women need her to step in and be the bridesmaid. She flies all over the country. She's done over 50 weddings, hates weddings, but apparently she's very good at making sure that things go seamlessly. She's part wedding planner and then also, yeah, walks down the
aisle. See, now that is good.
Yes.
Because she's getting paid.
Yes.
And I've heard that being a bridesmaid is an insane amount of money. I mean, just being a guest is ridiculous.
Yeah. She makes $1,000 a day being a bridesmaid.
I mean, I would be a bridesmaid if someone was paying me.
$1,000. She never drinks on the job, which I think is crucial. She had one wedding she went to where they work everything out with the bride as to what she's going to do, what her responsibilities are. And the DJ came up to her and said, hey, you're doing a speech in 5 minutes. And here's the thing. I'd be like, nope, it's not on the invoice. But she didn't want to argue. She didn't want to make a scene or make a big deal out of it. Didn't want him to, you know, because you ever have that where you say, no, I'm not going to say anything. And then someone decides they're just going to embarrass you anyway. You know, I could see a DJ saying, oh, no, no, come on. It's your friend. You got to do it. So she, without even arguing with him, without saying anything, she just wrote down some notes and gave a speech at a wedding that she didn't really even know the bride.
That's how good she is.
That's how good she
Man.
Is. Yeah, she'll do two weddings in a weekend. She had to go to Michigan and then fly back to Philadelphia and drive to New Jersey to get to the next wedding. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, that sounds frightening.
It does. Well, she said she had a 2-hour delay for her fit. Can you imagine if she misses a flight then too? This is for someone's what? it's one thing when you're going to miss like a family member's wedding and you get that anxiety, but to miss a check, like to me, that's a bigger thing.
And then you have to deal with sometimes, I'm sure, Bridezilla.
Yes. Oof. That is not mentioned in this article at all, although she recommends that people elope or not get married at all. She thinks she's not married. Hey, Chris, what's your wedding story?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
When I got married, I had four of my friends stand up with me, and all I heard was, you know, bitching and moaning about how the shoes are going to, you know, hurt our feet, and we're taking them off, and I'm thinking four drunk guys in socks are going to fall over the floor. So the day of my wedding, I gave all those guys white leather Nikes for the wedding.
Oh, for after the wedding? So at the ceremony? Including the ceremony?
Yes.
Wow. What did the bride think of that?
She thought it was an amazing thing.
Okay. See, I would have thought it was cool for the reception. Not necessarily. Did you get married in a church?
Yes.
Okay.
But I had the shoes on. I was dressed formally, but
the guys all had Nikes. That's really cool.
They had white leather Nikes and black tuxes. Yeah.
Well, you were a good groom. I like that story. That's fantastic. Do they still buy you rounds of drink every time you go out? Because I would think they would be paying you off for the rest of their lives just out of gratefulness.
Oh no, I'm happily divorced now.
But you still have the Nike story. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so when you hear these stories about other people getting married, do you kind of cringe for them?
You know, maybe got married too young. Got married when I was like 24. Yeah. So maybe it was just wrong timing. But nowadays, good luck.
Wow. Yeah. Everyone's trying to find a little bit of happiness. Well, thank you for your story, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Yeah, that's a good idea. It's comfortable shoes. You always see, I think I wore my shoes. I wore very low, like little box heels. They were like maybe an inch and a half. So they were like little Mary Janes.
Yeah, the friend who most recently got married, she did it right. Like mm-hmm. She just bought a dress where she's like, I don't want to wear anything under it.
Right.
Like any Spanx or anything. I don't even think she said she didn't want to wear a bra. She's like, forget it. I want to be comfortable. And she looked cute. It was just a wedding dress. And she said that she didn't even, people were like, oh, you have to save it and you have to dry clean. She's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about it.
My dress. Well, one, I don't have girls and I have this massive dress I have it in storage. My guess is it's all musty by now. I did not do the proper storage techniques. You know, they have all these sort of, you can actually have it sort of packaged by a dry cleaner and sealed and everything. And I haven't done that. It would make an interesting sewing project for, I wonder, I know that there are places that take them as donations. I'm guessing there's a good place to take it. I'm going to go do that. There's consignment stores.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's consignment stores too, but I doubt that anyone's going to buy that dress. I think someone, if they're artistic enough, they can go pretty in pink with it and make it something else.
Right. Or they could, you know, just edit it.
Right.
In a way.
I like the idea of repurposing it. When we come back, we want to talk about your vacation and how millennials are ruining it for everyone. So I feel like that's a theme at the station. We just blame the millennials. I know that Rokan goes after Kevin and Viola. Viola? Am I saying her name right?
Violetta.
Viola. Why did I say Viola? Isn't that an instrument? Violetta. She jumped out of a plane. That's crazy. Can we make you jump out of something, Esmeralda?
I will jump out of...
I'm kidding.
No.
Out of a cake?
No. Yeah. I'll jump out. No, I won't, because I'll be eating the cake. I'll be inside eating
it. We're just waiting for Esmeralda to come out of the cake. We're like, where is she? This is delicious.
Come back later.
You tell me it'd be strawberry and frosting and chocolate. That's all. I'd be in the cake with you. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I went away for a few days. I took my family to Philadelphia. I don't really. I think vacation is more something that where you don't have to do anything. There's no responsibilities. When you're traveling with kids, I don't. It's a vacation. Don't you think vacation is getting away and not doing anything, Esmeralda? Not having any obligations.
Well, I think you can go both ways.
Yeah.
Because I like having those vacations where you go somewhere and you do stuff. You do activities and you go see this, you go see that, and you're doing stuff all the time. But then, you know, sometimes I just want to sit on a beach and not do anything for a 24-hour period.
Why? Yeah, I want to just veg.
Yeah, no, that sounds nice. I think you have to do, it's a thing of like you do a couple of those activity-based vacations, and then you're like, okay, now I can take a nice just let's throw myself onto the beach.
Have you had a vacation in any sense, any definition of it?
I'm actually going to Boston in September, and it's going to be an activity. I mean, can't really lie. The beaches of Boston.
I love Boston. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, no, I love going to Boston. Colin has family there, so we're going to go visit his brother and just hang out. Because I've been there and he's been there, and so we both enjoy going there and stuff. Yeah. But a few years back, I went to Mexico, and I went to somewhere in the Yucatan, and it was just hanging by a pool, drinking.
Did it have a swim up bar, or was it?
No, we rented a house. Me and friends, we rented a house, so it was just a pool, and we made drinks and just hung out. Oh, it was so nice.
That's a vacation.
Yeah, no, it was really nice.
Say right now, that's a vacation. No in-laws, no, you know, having to like anything scheduled. That's a vacation.
Yeah, it was really chill. And then the best part was, I accidentally booked an extra day.
Oh, what a shame.
So we had to land in Cancun, and then we went to where we were going. It was like across, it was a few hours across the peninsula.
Uh-huh.
But then when we went back to Cancun, they all flew out a day earlier, and I was hanging out by myself on the beach alone. It was wonderful.
Yeah, some alone time for Esmeralda. Craig, have you had a chance to take a vacation? Like a real,
I don't know. I mean, we go to Mexico a lot now. When Betty and I can coordinate to take time off together, we just go visit her family. So that's kind of vacation-y, but like you said, there's a little bit of, we're not family, vegging on a beach. Yeah.
Family obligations.
Yeah. There's more expectations of stuff to do every single night and to visit people. So.
And you're staying at your in-law's house.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you need to take a couple of days where you just stay in a hotel somewhere.
Where you just do nothing.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I would like one of those now.
Yes. Yeah. You should have one of those.
Okay.
Everyone should have one of those. I haven't had one of those in a while. I want one of those. Although, you know what? When I go to Los Angeles on the weekends, I usually house sit for Mark DiCarlo and Yenny Alvarez. And when they travel and I'm not doing the radio show, I would say my Saturdays and Sundays are spent in a vacation style way without any obligations. But one of the reasons it was hard for me to start taking vacations here, I had never had like a full-time job where, you know, I was one getting a salary and benefits and all that. But when I take time off, someone else fills in, and it's weird to me. You do kind of, I had a lot of stress. I felt like afraid that, you know, the station would be like, oh, you know what, on second thought. You know, so I had a lot of fear about that. And, you know, I'm sure that there are listeners who are like, yeah. But I think that's what drives a lot of people to not take vacations, is that they're afraid that if they take time off, that their bosses will think differently of them in some way, or that they don't need them around, or that someone else does their job better. And millennials are doing this there. And a lot of millennials who've been they had this questionnaire. One of the things they want to be seen as is a martyr. Like working harder, always being available, and they want to be seen that way. They don't actually want to be that, but as a result, they end up not taking vacation time, and it's kind of crazy. So they'll make others feel bad about it. Like they'll shame their coworkers for taking time off or being of slacking off. Yeah, I'm not crazy about that at all. I don't know the young people that work at the station very well, whether or not they're taking time off or not. Because I also never worked anywhere where you get time off, where they actually have a slotted amount of time. Are you using up a lot of your vacation days when you go to Boston, Esmeralda?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many days off I have.
Yeah,
I just ask, and then if they say yes or no, right. I'm like, I don't know how many.
I don't know how to keep track.
I don't know how to plan that.
Well, I think Craig and I last year we had like 80 days left at the end of the year in December. We took all of December off.
Right. There's a ratings period benefit to us too, where like the ratings don't matter quite as much in radio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to take all that time off.
Yeah, it was really, and that's why it was also hard for me to take it. I've taken a couple days, but I still haven't taken that many. I don't know. But I think that it has to be on bosses, and I don't know if bosses are going to have this sort of, if there's any incentive to them, at least in the short term, to encourage their employees to take time off. You know, that they kind of instill that in the workplace, that you need to regenerate, you need to get away, you know. And also, I think it makes you a better person to get different perspective from travel, from experiencing different things, even if it's just food and music, but to get out and enjoy, you know, different aspects. I was listening to Steve Cochran interviewing George Foreman, and they have this new show, Better Late Than Never, coming out with Henry Winkler. Have you seen these clips, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
Oh, it's Henry Winkler, George Foreman. I want to say, I'm trying to think of, oh, William Shatner. A bunch of these guys, and they're basically doing, it's like Amazing Race with old guys, with old dudes.
That sounds adorable.
Doesn't it, though? And they are experiencing all these things. Terry Bradshaw is one of the guys. And, you know, and anyway, George Foreman was saying he spent all of his life, you know, always trying to get the next thing and being a businessman, obviously a boxer and training. And he wishes he had spent more time experiencing the world. And so the show is called Better Late Than Never. But I think that we all kind of, you know, even if it's an adventure to Wisconsin or Indiana or Iowa, places that are reachable within a few hours. I know Iowa is a place to go. It's a good place to go. I like it. Go to Springfield. Just get out. And now that the end of summer is near, you know, it's a great time to just take that chance. That's why I planned my Philadelphia trip within a week. I planned it a week out. And I, oddly enough, was able to find really good deals for 5 nights of hotel. Round trip tickets for 4 people cost, you know, just less than you would think. And the whole trip costs about $2,000.
Yeah, I mean, the Boston trip was a thing because I signed up to airfare alerts.
Oh, there you go.
And there was money. I was like, oh wait, I can do this. It was only 70 round trip.
Oh my god!
I know, right?
Do that. Like, wait, what's the name of that?
Airfare Watchdog.
Airfare Watchdog.
And you just plug in, I want, you know, go from here to here, and it'll give you alerts. Like, oh, here's an alert, and it'll tell you where they found it and, you know, how many days. And a lot of times it's like 2 weeks from the date that you're looking at it. But the one I picked was, you know, it's a few months later. So I was like, oh, I can do this.
That's great.
Yeah, I saw there. I mean, there was a bunch. I have a bunch set up. So for like Spain and for Singapore and for all these like different.
Go.
Because, you know, if a deal comes up and I can take advantage, well, then I will take advantage. And
yeah. Yeah.
Because just looking on a whatever day, you're never going to find it.
No, I agree.
But having these things set up, it's a little easier for me, like in my head.
I like that. Well, plus you start planning, like fantasizing a little bit too, don't you?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Hey, Jasmine, it's good to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the last 2 weeks before I have to start sleeping again.
Oh boy, you're right. You're staying up late. Yeah. Well, you can stay up late on Friday nights.
Well, next week is, you know, my last week of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, my cousins asked me if I wanted to come down to Indianapolis to go camping for the first time.
See, that's great.
And you know, since they're my cousins, I didn't want to be rude, but I'm horrified.
Oh, tell me what you're horrified about.
Well, one, I've never slept away from home before.
Okay, that's scary.
And two, being, like, sleeping outdoors, it just seems scary to me because you don't know what's out there. It could be flies, mosquitoes, bears.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you go to the bathroom when you camp? Do you just have to go behind a tree?
No, it depends on the campground that your cousins are taking you to. If it's, you know, there are a lot of campgrounds that are run by the state or maybe even by the by the federal government that have bathrooms, like proper bathrooms with flushing and everything. So it really depends. Yes, there's a possibility. You might have to go into the trees a little bit, but I'm fingers crossed for proper bathrooms for you, Jasmine. Bears, I don't think you have to worry about that in Indiana, as far as I know. I've camped a lot in Indiana. You bring some bug spray. Make sure you've got some good mosquito spray. That's right out that you have to have that.
I've heard you talk about camping a lot on the show. Is it like what's it like sleeping outdoors?
The thing I love the most about camping and sleeping outside, and this sounds so strange, is the fresh air. The way it feels to sleep in fresh air. It's really wonderful. You know, I would say this too. You know what I would do is if you can like build like a, and this sounds so silly, are you bringing a tent or are they going to have tents?
I think we're using tents.
Right. Cause what I do sometimes is I'm such a dork, Jasmine. Can I just tell you that right now? I have on occasion just put my tent up in my house and slept in my tent inside. So if you have anyone you can borrow a tent from to put up, because they have like these poles and stuff, you can have someone help you put it up. It's actually kind of fun, and it is the same thing as like, that's what it feels like outside, just maybe a little bit cooler.
Do you when you go camping, do you do the thing where people are roasting marshmallows and making s'mores and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, that's the best part. That is the best campfire. Part.
Yeah.
That part should at least be fun.
Absolutely.
I'm just so unbelievably nervous because I've never been before.
I think you'll have a good time. And your cousins wouldn't invite you if they didn't think that you would have a good time.
And then, again, it's the last week of freedom, so I might as well do something big, right?
You're doing something big, and I love that. Jasmine, let us know how it goes, okay?
I will.
All right. I trust your cousins. They'll show you a good time in the camping. Everybody should get. That's another thing. Go camping. You know, you can, or just put a tent up in a hotel room. More after this on 720 WGN. I've done that. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, heading into the home stretch toward the end of our show. Nick D is up next. And tonight we find out Nick's got a list of things, and we'll see if Esmeralda would buy that. Would you buy that?
I will most likely buy at least three things.
He's also going to talk to PR guru Richard Larimer to discuss Ryan Lochte and the whole mess. That is a total mess. What a disaster. But I will say this, in reference to the Olympics and Michael Phelps, how often did you see Michael Phelps standing on the diving block or walking around the deck of the pool and think, that guy gets high and is still the greatest athlete we've ever known in the Olympics? I mean, that was kind of the story a few years ago. People were disappointed in him because he got high. The amount of alcohol that people consume in this country, and there isn't the same sort of stigma to it, is very strange to me. I think that I was reading this blog in Scientific American from a doctor who is boggled by the recent decision on August 11th. The Drug Enforcement Administration announced that they would keep marijuana classified as a Schedule I drug. And I have to agree with this doctor because he finds it ridiculous, because the government historically refers to that category as the most dangerous group of substances, which includes things like heroin. I don't see heroin and pot as being the same thing. And if you go to you can check out this blog. It's actually a great piece written by this doctor. And he says that, you know, the things that they worry about, one of the first things he'll talk to a patient about when there's concern about substance abuse is always alcohol. The number of patients that he has in the emergency rooms that are, just completely blitzed. And alcohol can be just as frightening when patients stop drinking. Heavy drinkers who don't consume as much as they usually do can go into alcohol withdrawal, ranging from tremors to terrifying seizures and even death. And it's not only alcohol is not the only thing clinicians worry about. Cocaine can cause heart attacks, kidney failure, complications during pregnancy. Methamphetamines can trigger an assortment of responses from hyperthermia to violent agitation. So all these different outcomes when it comes to relying on these substances. But marijuana to most healthcare providers is an afterthought. There's no cannabis overdoses. They don't even scan for cannabis related brain abscesses. They don't treat cannabis induced heart attacks. Marijuana can be used, as far as they're concerned, as clinicians, it's on the same level as caffeine and nicotine. So I'm still perplexed as to why we continue down this path of being so adamant that marijuana has to stay a Schedule I controlled substance, and also the resistance in this state when it comes to using medical marijuana to help treat patients who can. It really is an alternative that would make a lot of sense. I mean, the amount of the substance abuse when it comes to prescriptions, we know that that's a problem. And yet I have a friend who is being treated for cancer and and is going through a lot of pain and a lot of anxiety. And the doctors that he has, they've said, well, we don't necessarily recommend, medical marijuana in this instance. It's not the kind of thing that, especially with a patient that's a little bit older. One of the things that was that they said was that PCP will settle in the brain. And I've been trying to do research. I haven't found anything. I'm like, what are you even citing that you would say that someone's in pain, they're getting chemotherapy, and your reaction, and to tell someone that and to not, and then to also not prescribe anything else, whether it's for anxiety or for pain control because the patient is allergic to codeine, they're like, well, you know, we'll treat with anti-inflammatories and, you know, we're going to make sure you have a – you know what? I'm really glad you can give my friend a stool softener. Why don't you give something to ease the anxiety a little bit too? I know I was going through all the medications. Do you have friends that are really against marijuana? Is your family have an opinion, Esmeralda, when it comes to marijuana?
My mom is against it, but because she's a mom.
Right.
But my dad and my brother are very much okay with it.
They're okay with it. They're okay with, and the thing is, I understand a mom not want. Do you mean in the sense that she doesn't want you to do it?
Yeah, she's very much. Well, she's just very like, oh, no, that's a drug and this and that. So, but yeah. That's because she's a mom.
Right. She's your mom.
I think she has that like mom mentality, like drugs, bad drugs.
I was talking to a friend of mine who said, you know, if we legalize marijuana, what kind of message are we sending our kids? That this is something that if you do it safely when you're an adult is some, you know, what message are we sending to them with all the alcohol, you know,
right.
with cocktails?
I think it's more a thing that a lot of people just don't want to talk to their kids when they have that kind of like, well, what would it message? It's like, how about you talk to your kid about it?
Mm-hmm.
Just do that. I know you're frightened of talking right. to your kid about these things, but yeah, just do that and it'll probably be okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the resistance is, and maybe I'm just making it too simple that I don't get the overwhelming complications that they put, the obstacles they throw up to make medical marijuana accessible and the path to recreational marijuana. I maybe I'm crazy. I'm sure that there are numbers people can send us about Colorado and you know, other places where it's become legal. Craig, did you grow up in an environment where marijuana was considered to be, you know, oh, don't ever do that. Don't touch this stuff.
So it's weird. When I was a kid, yes, my mom was really anti-pot. But mm-hmm. then when I went to college, she started asking me to get some for her. I'm dead serious. And I was never a big pot smoker, but I would come back from school on like Christmas break or something. And my mom would be like, did you get any marijuana? And I'd be like, no. And she kept asking me to pick it up. So I guess she had used it when right. she was younger. And, you know, that whole hating it was just to make sure I didn't do it.
That you didn't do it. But then, right. So she never had a responsible conversation with you about...
No, it was everything. I know you've talked before about your parents not really talking to you about
sex
stuff.
Nope.
My childhood was the same way. It was terrible and you were going to get diseases and probably die. Like,
oh,
that's the kind of stuff I got
scary.
With all, yeah. Like, everything, pot would have turned to harder drugs and then I probably would be out on my own, you know, yeah. as a homeless person. That's yeah. that's the kind of thing I heard, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's what we have created is this culture of fear and anger when it comes to marijuana. And I'm not sure how, you know, that's informing our decisions when it comes to using it as medical marijuana for patients who really they would benefit from it. You know, it helps with pain and nausea, with especially the debilitating side effects of chemo. I just don't see keeping people from that. And the thing is, it is legal in the state of Illinois. So to tell patients that they can't have it as a medical sort of possibility is really disappointing.
Well, what also bothers me is that I understand that people think it's dangerous
right.
for children, but the thing is, the laws would not be for them,
right? Just like
well,
they can't
it would be for them in the sense that no, they are not. It's for adults,
just
adults
like they can't,
legally.
Yeah, just like they can't drink alcohol, they're not supposed to.
Exactly.
And I guess the problem is that they do anyway. But guess what? They do anyway with illegal marijuana. You know, and I would hope that it would also have an effect on this city because we are a hub for the drug trade, for it to come up from Mexico and it's dispersed throughout the United States. You know, I don't have the information as far as how much that has an impact on the neighborhoods where we have the most violent, but I have to believe that it has a significant influence on that.
Right. I mean, I would like to think that once you start taxing things and make everything's on the up and up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not going to be as... profitable illegally.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of illegal distributors, let's say, of marijuana, I'm always surprised to find out, like, I don't even know how you get illegal. I really don't know how. I always seem to have friends who just have it and they get it from somewhere mysterious. I've never met someone who sells drugs in Chicago ever. Am I just naive?
No. You're just a nerd, Patty.
Am I a
nerd? That's all. No, I'm the same way. I had a friend a million years ago who did, and I was just I didn't even know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I was like, you do? Oh, all right.
Yeah. My wife worked at a Whole Foods. Yeah. She found someone who we never bought anything, but there was someone that just sort of thought that a lot of their coworkers wanted that.
And so. I they're probably right.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, they definitely were right, and we're now kind of friends with this person who, you know, sells drugs to other people.
Are they scared all the time? Because
this person is really confident about what she does, and she paid off all her student loans in like 2 years, and she went to a really good school. So, you know, just kind of great.
I would be scared.
Me too.
I watched that show Weeds.
Yeah.
Not only that, but there was a young man who was killed in my neighborhood. He had arranged a drug deal to go down up by the King Burrito. I didn't even realize this happened in April. And he was they tried stealing his car, and they shot him. I had no idea. I mean, that's the thing, is that that's what it leads to as far as the illegal drug trade.
And you go to prison for a long, long time if you get caught dealing drugs. Like, that's not a good idea.
No. and we were moving towards – I was thinking about having Sheriff Tom Dart on the show, because I'm wondering where he stands on marijuana, especially because he's considering a run for mayor of Chicago. I'm not really sure. Was I imagining something where I saw Richard Daley – like having a press conference and talking about the violence in Chicago? I feel like I saw him somewhere, and now he's thinking about writing a book. And Neil Steinberg wrote a piece in the Sun Times about, like, what's that going to look like? How are you going to, you know, what stories are you going to tell about how you tanked the city of Chicago's economy for the next few decades? Pretty much sold off all of our goods. He did. He sold off the meters and didn't he sell the, like, just so many things that we're still trying to dig out of this hole with
schools. And he's just writing a book?
I think he's going to write a book. Yeah,
I'm just like, how do people not just throw tomatoes at him when he's walking down the street?
That's a good question.
Like, hey, you screwed us.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. Because he really seemed to have gotten away. I mean, the way he was able to surround himself with this wall of, not me, just hands off. I didn't do anything wrong. But all these other people, yes, they were all taking bribes, like the silver shovel debacle, and people went to jail for that. But somehow his hands were always clean. And then I think he went to work for the law firm that created the binding contract with
the
meters.
Yep, he sure did. Yep, that's correct.
Yes.
That happened. Real quick, a text from the 630. I'm an addict, alcoholic, and I have done every drug except heroin. Pot is the only thing I've never been addicted to. It was listed Schedule 1 when the DEA was formed during the Nixon administration. They are trying to shut up those darn dirty hippies.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are people who think otherwise, but this is not the one to go after. And I think the more we move toward making it accessible to first, you know, let's first make it accessible and easy for people who need it the most right now. We'll talk about the other stuff later. Let's at least handle this now, because even though it's legal, they're still making it hard for patients, whether it's doctors and healthcare providers. They're not informing their patients that this is an option, and it certainly should be, and it's a good option. Okay. Well, I don't even know who we're calling after this. We have to figure out who we're doing for last call. More, we'll find out who that is on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. Wake me up before you go. So it's that time of night. Our show is about to wrap up. We are heading into 2 a.m. when Nick D takes over. And he's got some items to see whether or not Esmeralda would buy that. Would you buy that? Would you buy I'm trying to think of something silly, but I can't really think of anything. Did you ever have one of those lint rollers, or those lint eggs?
What? No. What? No,
like the lint, like they scrape off lint. We used to have, like, or sweater shavers.
Do you ever have those? I have a pill shaver.
Pill shaver. Do you use that?
It doesn't work.
No. No, it's just kind of annoying. I remember we're calling Anna Stanley. I've got some questions for her, but it's going to her voicemail, so there will be questions that will have to be answered later. I'm kind of excited.
When you finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
We won't need to. She'll let us know. Hey, Hannah Stanley, it's Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
Esmeralda Leon.
You are our pretty late wake-up call, or last call. It depends on which way you look at it. And I want to know how it went at Zany's tonight. I know you were performing at the 10 for 10 at the Zany's in Rosemont. You've got to let us know so we can let our listeners know that you're going to do that. I only saw your post on Facebook today. I'm sure you did a great job, and that's one of my favorite clubs. So I hope it went wonderfully. I also need to know we were talking last week about redoing my bathroom, and my mom came up today. She, for those of you who don't know, she lives downstairs in the two flat that we have, and she was, had listened to my show last week, Esmeralda. I was asking Hannah some advice about redoing my bathroom and perhaps my whole house, because we're thinking about just organize. I get to a point sometimes where I wish I could just like tilt the house and just shake everything to the front and just get a shovel and get rid of everything. I just, there's too much to manage. I have a lot
just
of clutter.
Just get a giant vacuum. Just suck everything out.
Exactly. Something. Leaf blower. Maybe that guy with the leaf blower who woke me up today. He's going to just blow everything out the window. But I purge. I'm trying to do that thing where you purge. You know that this woman wrote this book about clutter.
Yes.
That lady. You're supposed to decide if an item gives you pleasure. Isn't that what it is? Does it bring you joy?
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you, if you, you decide that you're going to give it away, you go, thank you,
thank
cup.
You.
You did your duty.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. Good day. I said good day. So I've been trying to do some of that. And it doesn't seem like I'm gaining any room. It just seems like
Kondo, by the way.
Kondo?
Marie Kondo.
That's her name?
Mm-hmm.
That's appropriate. Probably works with a lot of people who have condos. That's, I'm just saying. I think I read a little bit about her, how she's always been obsessed with organizing everything, making
yes.
sure everything is
I got to read part of her book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel changed?
Not yet. Well, no. I didn't get to finish reading it because I had to return it to the library. So
you thanked it for its service and returned it so someone else could use it.
There you go.
It looks perfectly. Yeah, we're going to redo everything. We have this rug. It's one of those like old like braided rugs, you know? It's got a kind of cool pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But the braids are coming apart, so things get caught in it, like shoes, like your foot. Like if you're walking, you just like trip for no reason. I've got to get rid of that. I need everything. I need to just take it all the way down to the wood, to the floor. I think we're going to repaint, take down all the artwork.
Nice.
When my husband hears this, he's going to start sweating. It's going to make
it'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be a nice change.
I think the only thing we're keeping in our dining room is the buffet and the dining room table. I did everything. We have not redecorated it in 15 years since we moved in.
Well, now's the time.
Yeah, we haven't painted the wall. That's going to make Hannah cringe, too. She's going to hear that. We have not done anything. I think our kitchen we did 11 years ago because Griffin was little, and we redid the kitchen. I redesigned sort of the configuration. So we did that.
Do you have colorful walls?
Yes, I do. I have a really cool like lime green in the kitchen with red accents.
Oh, see, that's nice.
I like that. And really nice like a buttercup yellow in the living room, dining room.
Ooh,
it's all one.
Yeah. Calming.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin in my bedroom, like an orange. I don't know, for some reason that we tried every green in our bedroom never worked. We tried every shade of green. And like it was either too dark or too kind of like sad and dismal. We did, and then we had this part of my bedroom was like in this calamine lotion pink was what I called it. But
like Pepto pink.
It was a little Pepto pink, yeah. Calamine lotion, it was like I was camping. Jasmine,
sure.
By the way, Jasmine, don't forget to pack your calamine lotion or ask your cousins. That's if you get a mosquito bite, it'll soothe the scratchiness. I always like using calamine lotion. This is the most... sort of free-thinking conversation I've ever had.
You didn't really talk to her about what happened on the show.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. So what happened on the show? We had John Tatey on the show.
You have reached the maximum time permitted.
Whoopsies.
So they had questions for her. By the way, John Tatey always sounds so, he's so confident when he, you know, when you have a conversation with him. I would believe anything he says. He's just so. Oh, by the way, I want to say hi to the police scanner guys who follow us on Twitter, and we're saying that 1 hour is never enough with John, and we do. We often beg him to stay, but he's got, you know, whatever day job, whatever a newborn baby. Fine, just take off. But we did, in fact, ask him. Do you follow police scanner?
Sort of, yeah. I have to for this job.
Right. There was, because earlier there was one where I think there was some like man spotted walking on Kennedy Expressway. That seems like something for you and for the police department.
Thank you.
Just let listeners know. Yeah. Hey, by the way.
There's a guy.
Watch out for the guy walking down the middle of the Kennedy.
Swerve around him.
Vic Vaughn, do you follow Police Scanner on Twitter?
Yeah, I do.
And they're helpful. I mean, there's so much chatter on the police scanners. I used to listen to them all the time when I was at Radio Shack. I always had the police scanner going.
It can be addictive.
It's voyeuristic, isn't it?
Oof.
Right?
I mean, you get locked in, you could listen for 6 hours and you will hear the gamut of crime. I mean, everything. It's right. It's incredible what they deal with.
Well, when the Boston Marathon bombing happened, there, you know, and they were on lockdown, everyone was told to stay in their homes. That was, I listened to the Boston Police Scanner. You can actually download the app and listen to it directly, which is very strange. That was really a creepy time.
That was a rough day. I was here in the newsroom that happened.
That was such a bad day. Okay, let's think of other things. Tomorrow night we have Brandon C. Price will be in the studio. Oh, by the way, please, one more time, I'm asking. Oh, there we go. We need to we need your suggestions on Donald Trump clips from the past week. From last Wednesday to tonight, we have our Trump trackers. And if we choose to use yours, you might win a Lou Malnati's gift card. So we'll make it worth your while to do a little bit of homework, a little bit of extra credit. Otherwise, we're just going to do our own clips. And we'll do it our way. We'd like to do it your way.